Booyah, and it's time for the Game Sports Show, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It is your host, David McKeag, and we're here live inside Northern Superior Brewing Company's tap room, where it's always a great atmosphere here inside Northern Superior Brewing Company, and also where it is a northern thing. The beers are just absolutely flowing here, as always. I'm here joined by Justin Heichel here tonight. I'm going to bring Justin in just a few moments. You're listening to the show on thegamesportshow.com or through our Podbean page, thegamesportshow.podbean.com, or through our various social media platforms, Facebook and or Instagram, or even through our sponsors and partners. You can follow us on the Facebook or the Instagram, which is at the Game Sports Show. Now, that little giggle that you hear in the background, that is the one and only Justin Heichel. Justin, my friend, how are you?
Not too bad.
Justin Heichel.
The, if we're announcing the to everything.
Very exciting show tonight. And speaking of which, I'm finally back behind the screen. Finally with the headset back on.
I'm back.
I'm back, but I'm not dressed in black, if you will. AC/DC reference. End of the day, I'm still on modified duties based on my back, so I'm going to be standing, I'm going to be sitting, I'm going to be doing kind of different things, but I'm going to make sure I get an exciting show, and I'm very excited to be back and recording. I want to say thank you to yourself, Dane, and also to Alex Parr that did a great show last week for me here at Northern Superior Brewing Company, as I was unable to walk in general last week, and it's been a great improvement. So shout out to Jason Bradford at Northern Chiropractic for what he's been able to do, some miracle work in the past week. At least I'm here, Justin.
Yeah, no, it's impressive. I mean, last week you had pretty...
I was on IR, opened up some salary cap space.
Swung by your place once last week to see how you were doing, and you looked like the Crypt Keeper.
I almost was anything short from having a cane before walking, but I, like I said, we were on LTIR. you had that salary cap room, and you were able to put Alex Parr in the hosting position, the salary cap, based on moving all that around. Are you able to plug him in there?
Yeah, we bumped him up and put him in the lineup. You know, it's going to be shifty the rest of the season. It's going to be tough to manage. We're like 100 grand below the cap, but yeah, I think we can do it.
We can do it. We can definitely do it. Here inside Northern Superior Brewing Company, it's always a great time, as I mentioned. Come on down, Northern Superior Brewing Company. Blake Winter and the crew here, Trevor Zachary, Jeff DeCorpo, the staff, everything of such. It's just fantastic here inside Northern Superior Brewing Company. It's delicious beer, too. I'm enjoying some Northern Superior right now, and you know what? Every time it's delicious, Justin. Every time.
Yeah, no, I haven't had a bad one.
Nope. ESPN 1400 is one of our sponsors on the show. Scott had a show there on Monday with Scott and with EJ and Butch. Obviously, Scott was there when I just mentioned Scott. And nonetheless, ESPN 1400 has a stream. If you want to hear us on Monday, you can hear us on the radio or on their stream. 6 to 8 on Mondays, and we obviously post the show afterwards on our social media and Podbean platform. Soon to be, though, Justin, by the end of the month is the goal. We said that we would have it on Spotify, and I think we're going to have more details by the end of Saturday, as we'll be doing our pictures on Saturday, a redo of our pictures.
We're making a calendar, everybody.
Yeah, like a firefighter's calendar.
Except worse.
Yeah, shirts
way
off.
Worse.
Shirts off.
Tarps off.
Tarps off. That's the addition we're calling it. And we have other sponsors here, obviously, on the show. Northern Critters Need, North Shore Sports and Auto, On TV, Sports Center, Bar and Grill, Compass Imaging Group, and Demansky Office Interiors, as well as special out to Big Brother, Big Sister. And I will say right now, with something in connection with Northern Critters in Need, I went to visit Kendrick last week when I was able to actually on the weekend. I was able to move a little bit this past weekend. I wanted to get out on Sunday just to go see my former foster puppy, and he is an absolute tank now. He is bigger. He's about 25 pounds thicker in terms of muscle, and he is absolutely loving life. And Matt Sauve does a great job, the Sauve household. I'm always touched from what they've done, from being able to foster Kendrick there, and to adopt Kendrick, and with myself fostering. I've never done something more rewarding. I hope to be able to get back to do that again. But Northern Critters, give them a follow. If you're looking for dogs, they have plenty of dogs and cats available for adoption, or even if you want to help to foster, it's always a help.
Honestly, someone started adopting them because I already have four pets, and I'm going to adopt another one. They got a couple cute puppies on there.
Yes,
right now.
They do. They do.
And their moms need homes too. I mean,
they do. They do. It's obviously sad, and but at the same time, you can do something rewarding by bringing them into your home in a foster or adoption situation. And also, we have a pretty big announcement. This year is going to be filled with a lot of announcements with some special shows, and I want to give a shout-out to Brendan Brooks, one of our staff members here on the Game Sports Show. He is in connection with a lot of big guests that we're going to get this year. We have a couple big ones locked in with dates, but I'm still being told not to release those dates because one in particular needs to settle some stuff outside right now until he's able to come on. We're hoping that we can start announcing some of our guests in the coming weeks, but no promises there. We also have a new website that's getting launched. The one and only, I've been seeing a lot of thes in this one, Aaron Robinson is doing our website. As you see, if you go to thegamesportshow.com right now, it's going to direct you elsewhere, or you may not be able to get onto the page. But nonetheless, that is because we have a new website that is in development, and it should be complete within the end of this week or by the end of next week, one or the other. And nonetheless, on that, we're going to have a lot of special announcements with the site. We're going to have some shows getting uploaded. The format's going to be different. Our pictures are going to be on there. And by then, we should be able to announce something charitable that we're doing with the Game Sports Show. Justin has no idea what it is.
No.
I did not tell Justin yet. I will tell him.
The level of intrigue on my face. It's bad radio right now, but...
It is, but at the end of the day, it's in connection to things that's happening that's devastated the world worldwide right now, and where the Game Sports Show is getting involved with a charity to give back, and we'll definitely announce that in the coming weeks as well. Lots of big things coming for the show, so we're always happy they're able to follow us here on the game. We're about 6 minutes and 15 seconds into my return show after having a week off, if you will, and I want to start off the show with a very big kind of dilemma and discussion here that is something that bothers me to the core. Good friend of mine, and obviously frequent guest on our show who's doing a fantastic job at the Grand Slam of Curling, and we'll make sure we'll give a little update on how that is going.
I checked it out this morning. It looked like they were having a killer week so far.
Oh, they're doing fantastic right now. They're getting ready for the quarters on Saturday, it seems like, is what they're, and I will be stating what that is by the time we end this segment here in part one. But what happens, Justin, when you enter Sault Ste. Marie? The highway back here is 17,
Dave.
17.
It's 17 all around.
It's all around. So when you enter 17, what do you see?
I mean, there's a lot of zingers that come to mind on either end of this, but I think honestly, I'm going to say the old logo Sault Ste. Marie sign, because I don't know if they put the new coloring contest one up there yet. And then you see the sign talking about Roberta Bondar going to space 30 years ago and the Greyhounds winning 30 years ago.
Yep.
And no mention of, some of our more recent local athletes' accomplishments.
100%. Now, listen, I'm going to say right now that I'm not pointing at the city of Sault Ste. Marie in a rude fashion. I'm not anything of that.
Maybe no one's brought it to anyone's attention yet. It's not really not. Like meant to be a burn. I'm just kind of a douchebag sometimes.
I want to bring this up in the fact of where credit's got to be given where it's due. The Marcoux brothers, I'm not even just sticking this with Brad Jacobs and Team Jacobs. Sorry, it's not just Brad, it's Team Jacobs. And also with the Marcoux brothers. Okay, the sign coming into Sault Ste. Marie, and people are going to ask, how does this relate to sports? It obviously does. Brad Jacobs, Team Brad Jacobs, and also Marcoux brothers, that's involving sports. So that's why we talk about it.
There's more recognition for Team Jacobs on Northern Avenue than there is on either end of Sault Ste. Marie.
There's also more recognition on Facebook than there is in a certain direction. And what I'll say right now is, I know these are more sports related. There's obviously some other influential figures. And obviously what Dr. Roberta Bondar has done in representation of her hometown is fantastic.
Yeah, but she's also got a building and a pavilion and a statue.
The gym's named after.
And I'm pretty sure a stone on the Sioux Walk of Fame. You know, I mean, like there's been a lot of recognition there. And I mean, it's a pretty monumental thing.
It is.
You know, first Canadian woman in space. It's a big deal.
That's fantastic. It's a huge.
That's a good number one to have on your board.
And the Hounds winning 1993 is fantastic. I wish they would have won a couple years ago so they could have updated that.
I just think the list needs a couple more
additions.
Like, and I think Team Jacobs, they do a lot around town.
They do.
Sometimes.
And Brad especially is really big into local businesses and development. Well, that's why he's one of our ambassadors on the show now.
I don't know that they're doing it particularly to be noticed. I think they're just doing it because they're good guys.
Yep.
But again, they're all local. Everyone that we've talked to, they're in town.
Yep.
They're here. They live here. Their families are here.
Yep.
Like, it's, I don't know. I think there should just be a bit of an update there. That's
there,
all.
There has to be. And that is what I want to say. When you come into town, it's just making our town look newer, more updated. Okay. And I want to get everyone's feedback with this. Team Jacobs and the Marcoux brothers should be on the sign. 100%. There should be an addition.
Like, what else should be on the sign? Like, let's try to generate, like, some positive conversation here. Because, like, tell us, like, are we out of line in thinking this? Like, is this, are we just...
And no, we're not going to say the Esposito brothers because...
Well, they got their own rink. And a plaque downtown across from the casino.
They got recognition. Like, and Wayne Gretzky has his jersey in the stands in a lot of hockey arenas,
I'm
actually.
I'm pretty sure pretty well every hockey arena.
Yeah. Literally, they're the Wayne Gretzky, and he's not from the Sioux also. But you have Marty Turco, obviously. And I know Marty Turco's he's in a development with another, actually a brewing company in Southern Ontario. Obviously, he affiliates himself outside of hockey now. But he has given back to the Sioux in terms of the youth hockey.
He's big into the Pee Wee, I believe.
Yes, and guess why not say Craig Hartsburg? There's someone else who's a staff member here on the Game Sports Show who we hope to have back on next week or the following week for some discussions. Also, player development coach with Columbus. He's won 2 World Junior gold medals. Okay, there's somebody that has been involved in Sault Ste. Marie, and with that though, okay, you have someone who's been involved. But nonetheless, there's a lot of names that can go on there, Justin.
Well, it's, maybe I'm a little off topic here, but like one of the things I find so fascinating with these, like everyone, like these, like athletes.
Born in Stratford, though. Producer Ghost Jump. I mean, Brett Craig was born in Stratford. I do know that. Thank you, Producer Ghost. I was just about to mention that he is born in Stratford. Okay, so obviously it's the same connection as Wayne Gretzky. But if you want to do another sign. Like, you can't have, like, 55 signs. I get it. You can update a sign where it says, special representation to the Sioux. You have Craig. You have, maybe you shoot out Wayne Gretzky on there because of what he's done. Or someone outside of sports.
I don't think so. I think you just put some notables on there, and it allows people, if they want, to dig into it and explore it more when they get into the city.
Yep.
Like, I think if you... You know, if you put something on the sign where this is the home of Team Jacobs and people come to town and go, oh, well, let's go try and curl a Team Jacobs rink. They won a gold medal.
Yep.
You know, it's just, it's not us saying they're not getting enough recognition. I mean, we are saying that. But on the other end, it's also, like the tourism and stuff in town has to look at that as a marketable aspect to the city.
It is. And I kind of veered off to saying about the people out of the town, so my apologies to the listeners. And we'll keep this as brief as we possibly can before we do a quick little local roundup before we go to break, as we have Mark Hebear and Charlie Murray come up in part 2. Part 3 will feature some NHL and professional news discussion. Then part 4, to conclude our show, will be Connor Henderson coming on discussing the MLB. And holy shit, there's a lot going on in the MLB, let me tell you. But if we're still in part 1, and same with the sign to kind of wrap it up. And like I said, I apologize for kind of going off about Craig, who's from out of town, and Wayne Gretzky, who's from out of town. That's a little bit of a stretch. The whole point of this was for me to vent and say, how the hell is Brad Jacobs, Team Jacobs, not on the sign yet? I'm not saying that because Brad's a friend or he does some ambassador work with the show or he's a frequent guest. I drove into Sault Ste. Marie a couple weeks ago and it's been on my mind, and I was unable, obviously, to voice my opinion last week about it because I was off on the show. But when I drove back into town a couple weeks ago and I saw that sign, I'm very proud of Sault Ste. Marie as a city for what it's accomplished in terms of, especially in a sports perspective, in particular with hockey, and how great a lot of hockey talent has come in and out of here because of the Sioux Greyhounds and Sioux Thunderbirds, even if you want to connect LSSU to that in some sort of circumstance. But nonetheless, it's the athletes in general. Okay, so that's why we're bringing it up here on the sports show, is because it is very sports oriented with my opinion here. If you think that there's somebody else outside of who I mentioned or including who I mentioned who should be on there, please let me know below or comment. But to wrap up that point, on top of my asking for forgiveness about how I mentioned Craig and Wayne from being out of town and maybe having 3 different signs might be a little crazy, but locally, that is what that sign is focusing on. That is what it needs to be. And I'm focused on that one sign that when you come in, it says 1993 OHL and World Cup champ, the Sioux Greyhounds, okay, and then with Dr. Roberta Bond on there. You need to represent those two. I 100% get it. Keep them on there. You can update that sign. You can modernize it and put the nice new logo that we know that we spent a lot of money on here as a city to change. So why not do a new sign with that logo on there, but adding some notable names, including Team Jacobs and also the Marcoux brothers. Those are the two names that I want to see on there. End of story. Those are the two flat. If there's anybody else that you think, if you think Marty Turco should be on there, let us know below. If you think Ron Francis should be on there, let us know. Or if there's a figure that we are missing, someone that maybe has a job elsewhere that we're missing that's outside the world of sports, let us know. But my argument right now is Brad Jacobs and Team Jacobs. I keep mentioning Brad, but it's Team Jacobs.
For the record, they clinched a playoff spot in the Canadian Open.
Yep. And we share that on our Facebook page. They actually won today 5-3, Brad Jacobs, from the Grand Slam of Curling. They are going to the quarterfinals Saturday at 12 o'clock is when they play. So special shout-out to our friends there with Team Jacobs, and we are rooting on you guys for the rest of the way. And hopefully you can win and then come back to the show with another victory to discuss that. But nonetheless, to wrap up my point, get Team Jacobs and the Marcoux brothers on that side once you enter Sault Ste. Marie. Anyone else, let us know who you think, but I think it's a disgrace that they're not on there yet and that sign hasn't been updated since God knows when. Please let me know if there's a date that that sign was updated, because I remember that sign being there over 10 years ago and not changing. So obviously it needs a change. The city is in an order of change right now. We have a new logo. We have new things in place. Maybe we should consider changing that sign. And by changing, I mean adding to it. End of story. Did I give a good argument there?
I think we're done.
Okay. Now going to kind of the local perspective. And what we're going to do here on the local side for discussion is give you, the listeners, and also the viewers, depending on where you're listening to us from, a quick little update on some upcoming games in all the local sports that are going on in town. We're not going to be able to jump into a lot of discussion about it, like in terms of full length, as we do have an action-packed show here tonight with having how we opened the show, went a little longer there without discussion. Also having Mark Hebear and Charlie Murray come on from Sault College. We have to do a lot of baseball talk. Justin and I have a professional hockey talk, a little bit of blurbs of some NFL and some NBA in there as well, little blurbs. So we even had to split. We couldn't do our Wednesday show at Sports Center because that was canceled, and our canceled Tuesday show. So we had to do a special in the pocket upload later this week. So we got a lot really to cram in. So we're just going to get to all the updates in terms of times and dates where teams are playing, just so you can mark it down. So with me getting into discussion, I think I gave you enough time to go get a pen and paper or to pull out your cell phone. Hopefully you're not driving though, and just to maybe type it into your calendar. We're going to end with the Sault College part, because obviously it'll transition us into part two. But so we're going to start with the NOJHL. And in the NOJHL, the Sault Thunderbirds, obviously last week on Friday, had some success last week, winning 11-3 on Friday, but they end up losing 3-1 on the Wednesday. But they do play tomorrow, that is Friday, January 17th, and Saturday, January the 18th, at 7:30 and 7 o'clock, respectively. They play at the Polar on Friday, and also Saturday they play at the John Rhodes Community Center against Espanola. A little border battle with the Sioux Eagles. And Scott Nason will have that game up for you. And if you go to the NOJHL standings, the Thunderbirds going to action right now. 22-14, 2-3 for 49 points. 5 points behind Rayside and 11 points behind Blind River. But guess who's 2 points behind the Thunderbirds? The Sioux Eagles. That all year. It has been a battle for them. A good old battle of the border. It just makes complete sense. So Thunderbirds, you can follow them on Instagram. You can follow them on Facebook, on their website. On their website, thunderbirds.com. Their Instagram page is brand new. And courtesy of, obviously, Anthony Miller does a fantastic job of those graphics. Sioux Eagles going to our friends across the river. The Sioux Eagles played last week and losing 6-3 to Rayside Friday. 4-0 to Elliott Lake on Sunday. They hope to bounce back this weekend to try to sweep the weekend, playing against the Thunderbirds on Friday at the Polar, as I mentioned. Then Saturday against Elliott Lake at 7 o'clock on the Polar. I have two games at home. The Eagles are obviously very successful usually on home ice. That Polar atmosphere is obviously electric at all times. The Blind River Beavers, last weekend, they won 4-1 and 7-1 last weekend. Just to mention a couple games that they were very successful, allowing two goals in two games. They do play currently right now. They're in Rayside at the end of the second. They're down 1-0. We'll try to give you that update before the end of our show if there is a final. Friday, they play, that is tomorrow, in Espanola at 7:30. Then they're off until next weekend. The Eagles in the standings, as I mentioned, 22-17, 1-2, 2 points behind the Thunderbirds. Blind River, 28-9, 1-3 for 60 points in the West, leading the charge there for the NOJHL wrap-up there. The LSSU men's Lakers, overall, Justin, 7-19-2. It's been a little bit of a rough season for LSSU this year.
Yeah, we were kind of thinking they might have rebounded after the holidays, but
it hasn't. They lost 2-0 in Alaska. They ended up winning 5-3, the split there. But then that was Alaska Anchorage. Then when Alaska, different Alaska team, came, when they traveled there last weekend, so they're on the road in Alaska Anchorage, and they were in Alaska. They played the 10th and 11th. They lost and they tied. They play at home this, not this weekend, that is next weekend. They're off this week, 24-25th, 7 o'clock. They play against Alaska Anchorage. Hopefully they can get a sweep opposed to splitting there. And then the U.S. National Development under-18 team, they play on Friday the 31st. And that is away, though, at 7 o'clock. After this set of home games, they're not home until February 14th, Valentine's Day, where they play against Alabama, Huntsville. That is 7-19-2 are the Lakers so far this year. 5-6-1 at home, 2-12-1 on the road. Obviously, the roads have been the woes for the Lakers. And obviously, having a game at the GFL this year will be very exciting as well. You can check out our Facebook page and information there for tickets and times. The Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, a lot has happened, and we uploaded it on the Game Sports Show Facebook page, a lot of the trades that they made. But the big news is Nick Malik coming to the Greyhounds as expected. That is fantastic to see. Crowds the crease for the Sioux Greyhounds, but nonetheless, it's a good problem to have. Now, very interesting is going to see what's going to happen with Ethan Taylor. What they plan on doing. I think it'd be wise to keep a third goalie if possible or try to keep him within there because obviously he can be a backup for Nick next year. I think he'd be a very capable backup for Nick as Bailey and Nick are going to be very relied on going down the stretch. You have Ryan O'Rourke and Jaromir Pytlick playing in the top prospects game tonight. The Hounds' future is looking great. It's unfortunate that Barrett couldn't come back that maybe Arizona would have burnt up the year and let him come back, but maybe I was crazy for thinking that because we would have gotten King's Ransom for it, just like we would have got for Jarrett McCann if Vancouver would have sent him back, but that didn't happen nonetheless. But still, the future is bright for the Sioux Greyhounds, Justin.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of positives this season. I mean, it hasn't... we're talking about it kind of like they're out of it, but they're not. Like, they're still...
They're 2 points behind Erie and Owen Sound right now. They're 9th in the Western Conference.
So, I mean, like, there's still time.
And they're 3 points behind Flint. The fifth, they're only 7 points behind Guelph. I say only seven, and obviously Guelph is 2 games in hand. But nonetheless, the playoffs are within reach. Just want to see this team grow and develop.
Well,
okay?
And the conference is pretty tight, too. It's
a very tight conference. The top team has 55 points. That's only a 13-point difference, where when you think of 8th to 1st in the East, Ottawa has 62 points, and Niagara has 35. So obviously the conference is a little bit different in terms of talent. You have a team that's below 500 Mississauga that are in the playoffs over there in the East, which kind of is what you see in the OHL at times, but kind of rare when you have a middle of this pack team and like a 6th place team or even the 5th place team. Hamilton Bulldogs are 18-19-2 tonight. Obviously, we're not going to jump into too much discussion as obviously some of this news with the OHL, NOJHL, everything's going to be changed. We're going to make sure that everyone listening to kind of the live portion or even the afterwards portion when it's uploaded that they get the correct dates and times for all the local action that is going on. And when you're listening to Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, because that is what we're currently talking about, the Greyhounds are in action tomorrow. They are home against Saginaw, and then they're on the road Saturday in Saginaw. Low home and home action, 7:07, 7:05 starts respectively. You can catch those games on Rock 101 with our friend Jerry Liscombe Jr. And obviously, you can get the games through television as well. And obviously, keep a follow on the Instagram and social media pages as well. Wednesday, they're home against Flint at 7:07. So that is the Greyhounds action this upcoming week. And they are expected to have a full lineup this weekend, obviously. But it'd be great to see with Nick jumping into action how that is going to pan out. The last thing we're going to jump into, Justin, which transitions us nicely here, is Dave McCaig, Justin Heichel, inside Norton Superior Brewing Company. Sioux College Cougars. Follow them on Instagram and obviously follow them on Facebook at Sioux College Athletics. Week at a glance, 17th, they have women's basketball and men's basketball, 6 and 8 o'clock. Then on the 18th, women's and men's, 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. For hockey, the 18th and 19th, 7 o'clock and 12 o'clock respectively. That is against Michigan Tech, and they're at Michigan Tech. Women's hockey, the 19th at 7 and the 20th at 2 o'clock against Michigan Dearborn. And also, a quick friendly out reminder to their Winter Classic. Tickets are still being sold. Over 50% is already sold for the Winter Classic as West Virginia Division I ACHA team. They play at the Rankin at 7:30 on February the 15th. So like I said, make sure you get your tickets before you don't have the chance to do it. If they sell out, it would be very wise of you to get it in advance. Dave McKay, as I mentioned here with the Game Sports Show, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have some Sioux College guests coming here on the show, and that is Charlie Murray and Mark Heber will be joining me to discuss the Sioux College Cougars program. Very excited to have that on for you, and hopefully you're able to enjoy it. We're going to take a break. After you hear from our sponsors, commercials, etc., we will have Mark and Charlie join us here on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Don't go anywhere. You know what sound causes that? That's Northern Superior Brewing right there. Delicious, locally made craft beer that's just pure satisfaction in each drop. Northern Superior Brewing Company has been a proud sponsor of the Game Sports Show since the beginning of 2018. And if you're looking to purchase a beer that you will not be disappointed with or to be a part of a friendly, sports feel, and comfortable atmosphere, do not look any further than 50 Pimp Street in Sioux, Ontario with Northern Superior Brewing Company. With a large projection screen inside the tap room and always cold beer on hand, you'll not be disappointed. Also, in the summer months, what would be better than to enjoy a cold brew outside than a Pier 55? We're at the Pier, you can certainly enjoy some great beer. Stop by Northern Superior Brewing Company today to purchase some local brew craft beer or even to book the tap room for a party of your desire. And check out its website, northernsuperior.org. Northern Superior Brewing Company, it's a northern thing.
You can follow the Game Sports Show on Facebook and Instagram at the Game Sports Show.
Hi, this is Paul Maurice from the Winnipeg Jets, and you're listening to the Game Sports Show.
Welcome back to the Game Sports Show. It's your host, David McCaig, here live inside Northern Superior Brewing Company's tap room. And the beers are flowing. It's a great atmosphere here at Northern Superior. We got the projection screen on right in the back of us right now. The Leafs are getting prepared to play against the Calgary Flames here tonight at Scotiabank Arena. And here for part two of the show, I got Charlie Murray, an old friend of mine, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but the scout of Sioux College Cougars men's hockey. And we've got Mark Heber, the director of hockey operations and the general manager of the Sioux College Cougars for hockey, men's hockey. So, fellas, welcome to the show. Mark.
Thank you.
Of course. Yeah, Charlie.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Now, I'm going to start with you, Charlie. We talked about this off air. We had Justin laughing in the background, and we'll have Justin back after we're done this segment to discuss more sports discussion. But you and I know each other from a little bit of ways back from when I played. Now, I do get chirped a little bit and harassed how I bring up the past sometimes, but you know what? This is truly a good story. So for anyone trying to maybe mute it for the next couple minutes, it's actually not that bad of a story. Charlie and I know each other from my days in the NOJHL, from when I started with Todd Stensel in Blind River. Exactly. Then I got traded to the Sioux Eagles for Jake Wathorn, and it was a player to be named later coming, like the Eagles were supposed to send another player next year or the year after, whatever the deal would have been. I went to finish that year with the Eagles. I then got traded for myself.
And Jake Wathorn came back to the Sioux Eagles.
And Jake Wathorn came back to the Eagles. So you know me from the NOJHL days.
Yes.
So that is probably the only trade you've seen everyone get traded for themselves, though, right?
Exactly. There not too many. Like, we can't list any. No. There's none.
If there is someone, comment list, below or step up.
The list begins and ends with Dave. That's where the list goes.
I get the suitcase nickname that was famously given to me from our friend Randy Russin, who also has a great show, Hockey North Show on ESPN 1400. Mark, obviously, we have familiarity with the hockey rink as well. You know me from the Sioux Thunderbirds time, another team that I played for in my four-year junior career. Obviously, you have great backgrounds in hockey. And, Charlie, I'll just go over to you first with scouting. How exciting of it is to be a part of the Sioux College hockey program? There's not enough words to say how amazing you guys have done with this program.
Well, the thing is, coming with the program, Mark contacted me when they were having their first tryout camp to do like evaluations and that. Honestly, I was planning on just getting out of it. I've been in it forever,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I was kind of getting a little tired of it. My last two times, one with the Sioux Eagles and one with the T-Birds, mm-hmm. was not a good situation. Like, there was an awful lot of... let's say in the management part, and you know, like I like being in where everybody gets along with everybody else,
exactly.
And so when this opportunity arose and I got to meet everybody and I knew basically everybody from before, it just was such a great group and what an opportunity. And you know, like I love watching the hockey, and now I got to focus away from junior eligible players to graduating players,
yes.
from junior. So it was a bit of a transition for me, but having Mark and Mike and the guys, you know, it was easy, actually. The thing is just adjusting to the older boys sometimes. You don't have to babysit like before.
No, junior hockey, there's a little bit of babysitting involved.
Oh, the little bit. Yeah.
And Mike Hall, we've had on the show last year. We ended up getting him on also. Kaelin O'Flynn was a player that we got on last year. Mark, same question that I directed over to Charlie was, amazing job you've done with the program. How has it come together this perfectly? I want to say perfect. I know perfect. Nothing's perfect, but that's the word I want to use. How everything's just been great.
Well, you know, I spent 29 years in junior hockey. And if I'd have known how much fun being in college hockey was going to be, I'd have left junior hockey 10 years ago. The group of people that I'm working with is really outstanding. Yeah. The support we get from the college is phenomenal. The cast of people that work at the college are so supportive. It's absolutely a pleasure to do it. I mean, and you know what? We had a lot of success in our first year. In our very first year, I wasn't with the club, but in the ACHA, we didn't qualify for regionals or nationals. But we went undefeated that season.
Yep.
The second year I come on board, between me and Mike and the cast of people we put together, we were able to, again, make it to the national championships, and we ran the table at the national championships.
Sure did. First Canadian team to do so.
First Canadian team to ever do so. Now here we are moving forward to our third year, second year qualifying for the nationals. We're ranked number one in the nation, number one in our conference, and again, the support has just been phenomenal. Now, with the quality of people you put together with this organization, it's no big surprise that we're successful.
Yep.
You know, Mike Hall's got a phenomenal career of coaching.
Sure does. North Stars.
Yeah, a very, very phenomenal job that he does. Is supported by a lot of other people as well. We have a great scouting staff. We're surrounded all over Ontario. Plus, we do some scouting in the southern regions of Florida.
Yeah, you were saying that.
The junior A leagues.
Yeah.
So just recently we were talking to people from Latvia, Switzerland, Sweden, United Kingdom,
Russia.
Illinois, Russia,
awesome,
Czech Republic. I mean, we're talking to a lot of different countries, which is a very exciting time because that's foreign to the college up until this point.
Yes, it is.
So you know what? Again, I can't say enough about the people that we've surrounded ourselves with, and it's really a pleasure to work with all of these people.
Definitely is. Now, the thing is that I'll mention is, like, Ryan Vinnerman, that's someone else that we've had on the show, and the roster that you guys have been able to build. Ryan Vinnerman also has history in the Ontario Hockey League and, obviously, junior level. And then you have Austin Rowe, who has another background with the Sioux Eagles. And just the players yes. you've been able to bring in. And the big thing that I notice is the local aspect of it. A lot of local players, which is definitely something that attracts that fan base here in town.
Yeah. You know what also attracts fan base is winning.
Yes.
And when we True. Started winning and we started showing people that we could potentially qualify for these championships and that, all of a sudden we started signing very big names.
Yep.
And the sooner you sign a big name, tracks another big name, and then next thing you know, you got 3, 4, 5 really premier players that are signing right away. So the same thing is happening to us next year. Now that we've been so successful in our last 2 years, we now have people reaching out to us saying they want to come to our college. We don't even have to recruit them anymore. They're coming to us.
And you guys are growing. You're in the Division II now. Yep. The next step would be the Division I if everything went as planned this year, correct? Is that a little bit of a process?
It's a little bit of a process. Mm-hmm. We don't know where the ACHA sees us fit in that Division I aspect, but the application process brings on a lot of different dimensions where you have to qualify with academic programs of certain amount of years and
oh, really?
Certain amount of programs, and half your, you know, university programs have to be 3 and 4 year degrees. And So, but you know what? No one would have ever thought that a Canadian team would be in the ACHA to begin with. So who knows where they're going to allow us to land. Our plan is to get to the highest level we possibly can.
Yes.
You know, and with a lot of patience and a lot of building, we'll get there eventually.
Now, overall, kind of both of you can answer this question. The difficulty of getting, there's always been discussion. I remember being younger when I was playing Pee Wee, and they've always wanted to get a college-level hockey team here in town, if that's been Algoma University or if that's been Sioux College. Obviously, you have Lake Superior State University across the river, but that's a different country, literally. So with having that kind of presence here in town, that's been a process for a lot of people that have tried and not been able to do, but now it went the Sioux College route where maybe people wouldn't have thought it wouldn't have went the Sioux College route. Maybe people, everyone would have thought it should be an Algoma University route, but yeah. It went the Sioux College route, which rightfully was a great thing to do. What made it like everything come together like this? It must have been just a process to get the team going, get the program going, or was the Sioux College just very supportive in getting this on, and was it something just quick that happened?
No,
or?
I think the person who started it all was Jay Houselander.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, and I think Jay was very instrumental in getting the program started, and that was before my time, so I can't speak to it. But I was very fortunate that when I did come on board, ACHA really relished the idea of having us. They knew we would be a strong program.
Yep.
Now we have all the top teams, and like we've had teams from Colorado, we've had Ohio State, we've had Miami of Ohio, Liberty, Lindenwood, Marion University, Florida Gulf Coast. Like, all these schools are now calling us. They want to play us. Okay. The one thing that determines rankings is 90% of it is probably strength of opponent.
Okay.
Okay. So when you're playing the top teams and you're ranked every week, you can even lose your games and still get ranked higher, as long as you're playing top competitive teams.
It's kind of like when you guys played against Twine this year, correct?
Exactly.
I know that was obviously a very good team. Yes. Yeah.
So all the top teams are now reaching out to us and want us to be involved in their showcases, their tournaments. They want us to be involved in the year-to-year scheduling. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's where it came from, I can't speak to, but where we're going is just amazing.
Yeah,
it's
the University of Cincinnati wants a home-and-home series next year.
You know, just to touch base on what you said about College Sault Ste. Marie, you know, running an ACHA franchise.
Yeah.
In all of Ontario right now, there's no college hockey whatsoever. There isn't any OCAA even. It's
That's
all
great.
Gone.
Yep.
So we've been asked at recent athletic meetings in Toronto if we would ever consider getting back to OCAA. But it'd be really hard for us to go back that way now, not knowing what type of security there is in the league, as it already fell apart once before.
Yeah. And it's at risk because now you're established within the ACHA. You've already developed that, the program and everything. And it just, you don't want to take that risk. It's almost like having a full-time job. You don't want to jump to another job that's a contract job because you know that the security is in question.
We're
correct?
Pretty happy with the ACHA.
They support us like crazy.
And that's all. Even though, like, you have different levels of leagues, and you're a scout, there's NCAA, ACHA, there's Division II, Division, other Division III, there's the OHL. There's so many leagues.
Yeah.
And you, from a scouting perspective, I love how you guys brought up that Russia, Sweden, United Kingdom.
Yeah.
You can find. I can't remember who told me this. I believe it was Angelo Bumbacco. I want to say that it was. I could be wrong. But my dad brought it from Angelo told him, so now I'm getting to the story archives here. But we can find a hockey player on a backyard of a hockey rink if you're good enough to be found. Or here in the Sioux, you go 10 kilometers down the road, there's a hockey player that wants the same dream that you have. And that's the beauty of Sault Ste. Marie, is the local talent that we've been able to have. We can name hundreds of names from this city that have been, and I'm not including myself in that hundred of names, just so everybody knows.
You'd be in there twice.
I'd be in the two different names.
One's from Elliott Lake.
Blind River, Elliott Lake, T-Birds.
Definitely. A lot of big names. Even big names have come into Sault Ste. Marie, a.k.a. Wayne Gretzky came here to play for the Hounds how many years ago now. So the Sioux is known for hockey development and just for hockey talent in general. And the whole connection from being a scout and connecting back to what you were saying about where you find players, is that true that you can just find a player if you just hear that they're good enough, or is it just you have to have the right scouts to go to the rink at the right time, or what's the process of that being involved in scouting?
The biggest thing is, Dave, is contacts that you make. Like, you go to a prospect camp and you meet so many different people down there, and you can tell, like, a good person you know, that's there that wants to, you know, exchange information. And, yeah. like, not just at that time, but later on down the road. Yeah. They may be from Missouri. They may be from, you know, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So at that time, I was chasing junior A players, you know. And so I went to a lot of different camps. And then when we had our own team, the Black Bears, we ran our own prospect camps. And you get to know even more people that way, eh? But, no, that's basically the way you do it, is through the contacts and what have you. And the thing is, Dave, is that you got to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, you don't pat a guy on the back, turn around, you know, and say, Dave, geez, you're the best thing I ever saw. You know, I really like you on my team. And then look at Mark and say, he couldn't make our fourth line. You know, you don't do that. And you see that.
And that used to happen. That used to happen in leagues that we.
A lot.
Or we won't mention things. But
my chump, Jerry Lordy.
The other thing, too, Charlie, is you have to be able to sell that player to come here.
Oh, yeah.
Finding him is one thing.
Yep.
Selling him to come here is another, because in the ACHA, between Division 3, 2, and 1, there's 561 teams. So there's all kinds of salesmen out there. There's all kinds of packages out there. There's all kinds of offers out there.
And they can offer probably different. Like, is there?
No, there are a lot of rules where, like, we can't subsidize hockey.
Okay, good to know.
You can't,
awesome.
You can't offer scholarships. You can't offer money to players. I mean,
it's just like D3. It's schooling. It's your grading above any athletic thing. You might be able to get some bursaries or whatever.
Depending on your GPA or your...
Exactly.
You have to maintain a 2.0, which is 65%.
See, that's what it's relieving to hear, because I know there's obviously a lot of issues with NCAA that we're seeing with players being paid. That's obviously the NCAA level. But, you know, that's everyone's question. How does this team always get the good players? Are they paying those players? No, you develop a program, and respecting that program, players want to go there. That's just how it goes. And that's how it goes for a lot of different leagues, NOJHL, the college level. It doesn't matter what league. If you're an organization that has credibility, you're going to attract players. And that's what you guys are
building. If you're a team that wins a lot,
yep,
people just want to come.
Exactly, because people want to win. Yep. And then when you win, it also, from a scouting perspective, you get recognized.
Oh, definitely. It makes it much easier.
Like, don't get me wrong. If you're 0-81 on the season, 0-82, sorry, like, you're still going to, if you're a good hockey player, you're going to get scouted still. But if you're winning, it makes... The more scouts come, you're more attractive.
Which becomes even harder to sell at that point, because now there's multiple guys making the same offers to the same people. Easiest thing to find in hockey is the players who are the best.
Yep.
So you don't win hockey championships with number one and two lines. You win hockey championships with one, two, three, and fourth lines.
Yep. Rolling those lines, not just your top line.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, you know, we're very deep. We're very, very deep. We plan on being even deeper next year. As crazy as that sounds, we've done a very good job scouting this year. But selling is the biggest component in scouting, being able to sell your program. What does your program offer over all the other 200 programs that are available?
Yep.
Because they're all going to offer him something if he's really good.
Exactly. And schools, depending on what it is, hopefully they choose what's the best for them. That's what I like players seeing. If players should evaluate their future. And I think you're seeing that a lot more in modern hockey, where before you just go to try to win or just to be on a team.
Right.
I think players are being a lot more smarter now with saying, hey, hockey may not be my future. Maybe I'm not making the NHL, or making Tier 1 in Europe. I need to get an education. I also need to become a good person. But I want to be able to have fun and make memories and be able to play. And maybe something will happen after that.
And you know what, Dave, too? There's such a difference from when you played and when I was running the team or something.
Yeah.
The cost factor for a junior A player nowadays, with the billeting and what they pay a team, it's cheaper for them to come with us now with the schooling and
with
the
schooling.
Billeting.
Yeah. With schooling.
Yeah. Than it is for them to play for whatever junior A team they play for.
Exactly.
Because there's different.
There was a time, and you can a second this, there was a time, also, Mark, you could as well, where junior hockey was free.
Yeah, you never paid nothing.
And we're not shooting any of the junior programs down, but obviously fees have gone up.
It's changed.
It's changed. It's grown more. It costs money to run an organization. And
Hockey Canada would disagree with me when I say this, because it's not proper. I mean, it's not policy. You're not supposed to pay players to play.
Yeah.
But back in the day, a lot of players were paid to play hockey.
I think I can – I'm going to say flat out North Bay.
Yeah.
There's a team that I know used to – I'm just going to say flat out. They're not a team in the – well, the Skyhawks aren't a team anymore in the node. So I can say that. It's an expired discussion. But there's – obviously, you have that happen. It's just – that's kind of unfortunate, but hey, that was the way of the business before. But now the game has changed, and that's investigated, that's looked at, and that's what's great to see. And it's also fantastic to see what you both and your whole staff has done with your program. Mike Hall was a huge addition, obviously,
yeah,
as well, with his accolades as a coach for the North Stars. It just goes without question.
Mike Hall was instrumental in getting me to come on board.
No, for sure.
I was sitting at the airport. I just terminated my position with the Thunderbirds. And he asked me literally the same week I resigned to come on board. And at that point, I was in the same mindset of Charlie. Yeah. I thought I was done. Mm-hmm. I'd done it for 29 years. It's time to move on and do some things that I want to do.
Yeah.
But Mike was persistent, come and asked me several times to do it. And then we got together one day and had a coffee. And I said, okay, look, as long as we can do these things here. And we set out a path, and he was all in favor, and we've worked phenomenal together since day one.
Yep.
You know, my son come through his program. I knew Mike personally. I spent a lot of years scouting Mike's team as a guy who scouted, yep, for the first 20 years in junior.
Yep.
You know what? I never really had a really personal relationship with Mike, but now that I do, it's phenomenal. He's just a great, great person. It's all about the players. It's all about making the program better. He's always about giving back.
Yep.
You know, he's just a phenomenal players coach. And even my son, when he played for him, absolutely would have done anything for him. Would have gone through the wall for him.
That's what a lot of individuals say about Mike. And obviously your staff, the chemistry in your staff, and that's instrumental in putting a good team together too, because if you guys are on the same page, or if there is a disagreement about something, it seems like you all would be able to work through
it
easily. Be like, okay, why can't we do this? And that communication is
essential.
We don't
always agree.
No, not everything's perfect. Not everything is.
No, but it's always talked out. And like, yeah, Roddy Trudell's an assistant coach, and he really helps out with the program too.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know Rod.
I do know the name.
From back in the
yes,
day, yeah.
Yes. Starting to realize that there's a lot of names that I know, but then when I see them,
yeah,
I'm starting to recognize them from the days, you know, starting to.
Tyler Brown.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
you know,
Tyler, yep. Yeah. Yeah. We had a lot of players on my men's league team, actually, last year. We had a lot of the so-called Austin Rowe, Kalen O'Flynn, Vanderman. We ended up losing the finals, though.
Yeah, I think that was to my son's team.
Bucci's. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Indeed, it was.
I happened to be there scouting that night.
Yeah, I needed a coach out there. We needed maybe Jim Cappy to go be the coach.
I happened to be scouting that night.
It was definitely a good game. I caused the winning goal for Bucci's, so yeah, that's how I knew that I was done.
We're trading you.
Nonetheless, Dave McKay with Marky Barrett and Charlie Murray here inside of the North Superior Tap Room. We talked about the program here a little bit, fellas. What I really love, okay, when I do our Thursday show a lot, even our Tuesday show, we do a lot of focus on the Sioux College program and all the local hockey programs, and we do as much as we can here covering everything on the Twin Sioux's only local regional national sports show. I love your Facebook page and your Instagram page. I'm going to kind of go the unprofessional route and say I love it, and I think it's sick. That's the word I'm going to use for it. And I believe a lot of credit with it. Correct me if I'm wrong, Anthony Miller.
Phenomenal.
Does fantastic. I know he does some, has been done some work with the Thunderbirds with his graphics, yeah, as well. Like, his graphics are fantastic.
Yeah.
So I want to give Anthony a little shout out as well, who's been a fan guest on our show before. And I know he's a follower, so shout out to Anthony. But the graphics are phenomenal. And your week at a glance, love that. Because when I'm planning out my layout of my show, I know what times, I know what places. It's a lifesaver. And you can follow it at Sioux College Athletics on Facebook, and also you have an Instagram page as well.
Yeah.
And speaking of this, we'll go to a couple of things that you have coming up. The big thing that's coming up is the Winter Classic.
Yep.
And Mark, I want to go to you and Charlie, sure, to discussion.
Paul Orazietti come on board last year in January as the new athletic director, and one of his focuses was to create something very special for the hockey team, mm-hmm, to do in the wintertime. He named it the Winter Classic. It's not really a Winter Classic because they're typically outdoors, but... Mm-hmm. We've managed to secure a position with a team from West Virginia.
Yep.
It's a D1 team that's coming to play us, which is very exciting because they're a 500 team that's very good. They have a local coaching staff, or actually the local coach, who you might actually know, Shane Buckley.
Oh, yeah.
Was a goaltender in Blind River
Blind
for
River.
A while.
Yes,
and
he was.
His dad was instrumental in coaching, yep, down the line for a while.
He was.
Shane come to Sault Ste. Marie this past summer, and we got together and we had a coffee and discussed this whole thing and made it all happen. And it's growing a lot of steam right now. You know what? We expect it to be the biggest games that we'll play this year.
Yep.
And they're very happy about it. It's gaining a lot of momentum right now. And on February 15th, the Rankin is hosting this Winter Classic at 7:30 p.m.
Yep.
Tickets are $8. You can buy them at the college. You know what? We're very excited to be doing this.
And you also have a bunch of tickets sold as well. And you can get them at the door, too. But I would recommend purchasing them in advance.
I wouldn't wait. Can.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't either, because it's going to be a hot item to go to. And, like, if you have any issues getting a hold of trying to get tickets, you can just reach out to yourself.
Yep.
Or Charlie, even reach out to me and I can direct you to Mark. Either way. Sure. February 15th, 7:30 at the Rankin Arena. Charlie, with West Virginia coming here. D1 school coming here. We don't like using this term a lot, but we've used it a lot. I know Justin sitting in the background is going to laugh. The measuring stick.
Okay? It is.
And that is a good measuring stick for your program to see right Perfect. Where you are up against the Division I caliber. And I'm sure you've scouted this team, or do you see any tape?
They're with pretty teams good. You
play? Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, they're going to give us a run for the money.
They're going to give us a run, but we will beat them.
Oh, there we go. I like that.
The one thing we got to worry about with Mark is he's not very positive, okay? You know?
Like, he's just honest, though. The honesty is right there. He's blunt. Love that. No.
We've got to work on him.
Now, and I think you guys, the second thing that we noticed here, the week in a glance, there's a lot this week with the week in a glance. The women's basketball, men's basketball is back. The men's hockey, you guys play the 18th and 19th. So that's Saturday and Sunday. And you're at Michigan Tech, 7 o'clock on the 18th and 12 o'clock on the 19th. Yes, I looked at the picture. Usually I don't like look at that, but it's hard to memorize times nowadays.
The following week, we're home here to Michigan Tech as well on Saturday and Sunday.
So kind of like a... Yeah, home and home weekend situation. Yeah. Any kind of familiarity with Michigan Tech, or is this the first time that you've seen them?
Last year we were a D3 team. We played them as a D2 team. Mm-hmm. We came in on the first night, and their goaltender was extremely, extremely hot. I mean, I think we outshot them 67-24, and we lost 2-1. So it was just crazy.
Is that Freddie Anderson in that over there?
Man, I don't know who it was, but the guy was phenomenal. The second day, we put it to him pretty hard.
Yeah.
We beat them with no resistance. But you know what? I'm expecting a better team this year. Mm-hmm. The only problem is we're a much better team this year as well.
You got a very strong team. Now, speaking of players, Charlie, Mark, I know your whole team is doing fantastic, but is there a player that sticks out in mind where maybe has surprised you? I know there's, if we could say, you can't say Ryan Vetterman has surprised you. No. Obviously, there's a player that's...
I've watched Ryan since he was five. He's always done what he's done.
Exactly. And is there a player that maybe, not saying that's doing better than you expected, but maybe that person who is blocking more shots or killing penalties maybe in situations, I know maybe that would be more of a question for Mike, obviously being the coach, but obviously you watching all the games. Is there a player that stands out to you really this year outside of the top guys, per se?
You know, like...
I think we'd have to give that nod to Parker Morgan.
I was just going to say, the one kid that I can bring to mind that really has stood out for me, because he was asked, he's been a forward his entire life. Mm-hmm. We lost so many defensemen to injuries and what have you. He moved back onto D. And he's played there for...
The entire year?
Yeah. And he's done really well.
It's probably not his choice to be there either.
No.
But he's been phenomenal. He's stepped up and really, you know, helped us out.
Yep.
And I got to tip my hat off to him, because that kid never laces up any game where he doesn't give you 150%.
You got a guy who can play both ends and stick it up, standing up for the boys, if you will.
He's like a little solid, like a little tank, too. Like, I mean, he's small, but don't ever underestimate him.
He hits like a brick.
He hits like a German tank.
Yeah.
No, see, that's
unbelievable.
We have a guy stand up like that. That's important. And obviously, you get a lot of credit to a lot of the top guys have done well. But what I noticed with your team is just the all around, the chemistry as well.
Yeah.
And knowing most of the guys that you guys have, the chemistry is huge. It's fantastic. The number is high for your chemistry, which is essential for team success. People don't understand that.
We've got really good leaders.
Yes.
Really good leaders.
For sure. And if you have everyone that get along and they're in an environment where they're enjoying it.
Yeah.
And the old corny way, having fun, you're going to have success on the ice.
Yeah. I've got three boys billeting in a house just next door to me. that, yeah, there's a lot of camaraderie because...
Little Fortnite guys, tournaments probably,
for
too.
For three guys, I didn't know there was 10 vehicles. But, you know, and what they do is they just sit in there and play video games and what have you. You walk in and, like, there may be the odd beer, but I'm not sure. But you know what? They're all together. They yep. like it. You know, and they're good guys.
Now, right now, going into this weekend, 15-3-2 is what the website has you guys at. And your three-game winning streak, 6-2 at home, 9-1-2 away, obviously. And I believe when you guys played against Twine, I always say that wrong. You guys did play them here, but you guys were on the road in the games that you lost 6-3 and 6-4. And I think that was in October. Remember correctly?
No, on the road we won both games.
Yeah.
Won both games.
And at home we lost both games. But
okay.
To our defense, we were short 7 or 9 players in that weekend.
Okay.
Mainly to injuries. We only had 2 of our starting defensemen. We had five forwards playing D. So
yeah, no. It's like putting me back there defense. Can't do that.
It's tough. I mean, you know what? It's tough.
Trade.
Yeah, trade. That's call of the bullpen right there. That, speaking of that, baseball, oh, my God. I cannot wait to talk about that with Connor Henderson, our baseball analyst tonight. It's going to be – oh, that there's a wire in there, and he says there's not a wire. Don't take the shirt. And he says there's not a wire in there. Oh, that's going to be hilarious. Fellas, but we've discussed everything. I want to give the floor before we conclude everything here. Just – to yourselves about maybe anyone who's interested in playing, how can they can reach out to you, and just maybe a reminder where we can follow you, reach out, everything about the Sioux College program that we may have missed as well. Both.
Well, one of the things we haven't touched on, and just quickly I'll touch on it.
Yeah.
Sioux College has been rated number 1 or number 2 in Ontario by its students for the last 5 consecutive years.
Good point.
So it's not just a really good athletics department, but it's a really good college. The higher-ups at the college have done a really good job in the last couple of years expanding its programs. We're going to be adding 8 new trades to the school. That doesn't hurt us. You know what I mean? All those tools are another tool in your tool bag that allows you to sell a guy like I mentioned earlier. Having said that, you know what? I'll turn it over to Charlie for a few minutes here, and he can talk about the other things.
Well, like what Mark touched on is that some boys graduating from junior are not the best with the scholastic. So I was a millwright in the steel plant. I made a good living out of that with a trade. So there's nothing wrong with a boy going and attaining a trade, be it a welder, a plumber, electrician, or whatever.
Yep.
You get that ticket, you can work anywhere, and you got cash for life. They're always going to need tradesmen. You just look here. Yep. They're crying for somebody to come into the steel plant, you know, as a tradesman. They're hiring guys that, you know.
If you can do trades, you're right in your own backyard.
And you know what? Looking at it, they've already passed the money budget for the new locks across the way. So, you know, when I talk to the American boys, I say, listen, you know, like you can get a trade. Plus, we can transfer credits over to Lake State. So if they need to go to a higher level than what they can get at Sioux College, they can also transfer over to Lake State their credits and go from there.
And that's beneficial.
Oh, big time.
Sioux College in the last couple of years has developed 2+2 programs with several universities, where you can come to Sioux College, perhaps take a 2-year business diploma, and then transfer over to Algoma U or to Laurentian or to LSU, take 2 more years business, and end up with a 4-year business degree as if you went to university for 4 years.
And it's more cost-efficient as well because...
Cost-efficient. You get to play hockey for a couple more
years.
Yes, yes. You know what? It's just a win-win-win. Mm-hmm. Again, the higher-ups at the college have done a really good job making all of those programs available. Yep. So, you know, what never ceases to amaze me is we're continuing every inch of the way to develop into a better school and a better athletics department, and it's just awesome to be involved with.
Definitely. Sioux College, we talk about you week by week on the show, and we're very excited to see what you guys have done and very excited to see what the rest of this year brings for you guys
In terms of anybody that wants to come to the college to play hockey, all they got to do is reach out to our website. There's all the emails. Send us an email. I guarantee you they'll be contacted immediately.
Yep.
We don't delay. We don't wait. We respond to every email as if it's just as important as the last one.
Yep.
And, you know, if there's any if there's any problems that way, just find the school's number and call the athletic department, and they'll direct you as to who you got to speak to.
And we're going to have a spring tryout camp also,
awesome.
Which we'll be able to get the date finalized probably next week. Yeah. And then we'll make sure that that's publicized. And we don't pick and choose. Anybody that wants to come is more than capable of coming out. Who knows? You know, like, come out.
Yep.
Give it a shot, you know. Like,
yep.
You don't want to question yourself afterwards. Come on out and see what you can do.
Because, exactly. And then you can see if you aren't successful in making the team, you can see where you can build on. If you have the passion to make it, if you truly want to make it, you make yourself get better and get your name out there.
Yeah.
It's the most important thing.
That's right.
Definitely.
Or we could trade you.
No, or we can just trade you.
And then bring you back.
Yeah, for yourself.
For yourself.
It's not that simple. You can't trade.
I think they'd frown on that.
Yeah, they might. But bring in, we'll call it a Dave McKeag rule or the
there
suitcase
you go,
rule.
Yeah.
But Mark, Charlie, I want to say thank you for you guys coming on. We went a little bit overtime, but hey, that's fun on the podcast side. It's a bit more loose opposed to getting buzzed in your ear when you have time constraints. But I'm certainly hope you both of you enjoyed yourselves.
Listen, thanks for taking into consideration to reach out to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, we really appreciate this. Anytime we get an opportunity to promote the school or our program is awesome. And this has been a great evening.
Definitely.
Yeah, you guys do a really good job.
Thank you.
So we're very happy to be here tonight.
Very happy you guys are able to join us. We'll do something again this year. We'll do a lot more promotion with the Winter Classic. The Gaines Sports Show and Sioux College Cougars, you know, it's just as fresh as your program, working together and trying to make sure your program, everything is promoted as best it can, because it's obviously deserved. So we'll make sure we share and do everything that we can on our end, but also we'll make sure we get you guys on in the very near future. So thanks again.
Very good. Thanks, Dave.
Of course. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Justin Heichel is going to rejoin me for some professional news talk here on the Game Sports Show. The Game Sports Show wants to thank its original Sioux home and Wednesday night broadcast location, sponsor and partner since 2015, Sports Center Bar and Grill, home of Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario's best sports bar for 4 years in a row. Multiple drink and food options available, in particular with its famous 75-cent wing nights on Wednesdays. Sports Center is located on 624 Welland Street West in Sioux, Ontario, where the atmosphere is always electric with its excellent customer service from the staff, brought to you by owner and operator Frank Ligori. Don't miss out on being a part of Sports Center today or tonight. Sports Center Bar and Grill, the Sioux's best sports bar. Hey, did I get your attention? The Game Sports Show is proud to give a shout-out to Compass Imaging Group and Sign Solutions, and also Demansky Office Interiors. Compass Imaging and Demansky Office Interiors is located on 500 Industrial Park Crescent, Unit 1. You can follow both Compass Imaging Group and Demansky on Facebook at Compass IMG and at Demansky Office. If you're looking for professional signage, promotional materials with expert design plus much more, with the acquisition of top-tier office equipment, you're in luck. With its high customer service rating and top-quality experience, you are able to acquire multiple desires in just one stop. And at Compass Imaging Group, they will work very closely with you on your project and offer expert design and marketing advice. Create a new logo, design, or advertisement with the experts at Compass. Demansky Office Interiors is a well-recognized full-service office furniture dealer and design company in Sault Ste. Marie and Algoma area for over 40 years. We're providing top-quality office furnishings. Demansky Office Interiors represents leading manufacturers such as Herman Miller, Nightingale, 3H Manufacturing, Group Lacasse, Fogo Upright Seating, and more. Two great businesses in one great location. What are you waiting for? Make sure you stop by today.
This is Andy Frost, and you are tuned into the only regional sports show in the Twin Sioux, the Game Sports Show.
Welcome back to the Game Sports Show. This is part three of tonight's show from Norton Superior Brewing Company inside the tap room. Myself and Justin rejoins me here. What a great segment with Mark and Charlie.
Yeah, no, that was it was definitely a really good interview. I mean, sitting on the sidelines, almost jumped in a couple times. But no,
should have had that fourth headset.
We've talked to a lot of people in the sports community here locally, but I don't think I've met anyone more passionate about the program they're running than Mark. That was That was a really good interview, and I'm looking forward to getting out to a few more games.
Definitely. Now, with the games that they have, it's their program is fantastic there with Sioux College, the players that they have, and you can follow them on social media. And also, we'll check out their games. The program is growing. And if you're interested in reaching out with any inquiries, Mark is instant on the replies, let me tell you. And he's obviously a very passionate hockey man, as Justin just jumped into there. So make sure you get involved to go watch more games. Their home rink at the Rankin, there's a great place to watch a hockey game, let me tell you. So thanks to Mark and Charlie for coming on. Justin, you and I are going to jump in to discuss some hockey in terms of the professional level, a little bit of news and little updates, maybe some reaction. I know there's a couple points we're going to be jumping into. That is maybe Matt Tkachuk and Zach Cassian jumping in there. And as we sit here right now, the Leafs are playing against Calgary inside the tap room. And I must give a special out to Northern Superior. They have the projection screen here. You can watch the game that's on, if it's the NHL, if it's the NFL playoffs, whatever it may be. So Justin will have some of that. And then I'll give a quick little blurb about the NBA. And then before we sign off on this part three, I'm going to give your quick little predictions about the NFL playoffs, because we do have a special edition in the pocket upload this week. We did not have a SportsCenter show, obviously, this week. It was canceled due to my injury, so we are only able to do one show, so we'll have a special upload. We plan to do one with either Jamie and or EJ Russell, so hopefully that can get out as soon as possible for you, so keep an eye on our uploads for that. NHL first, though, Justin, it's very interesting. We've been seeing some discussion with the salary cap implications. Toronto Maple Leafs right now are in a little bit of a pickle, if you will. And Morgan Rielly, arguably the top defenseman of the Toronto Maple Leafs, is out of the lineup due to a broken foot. He is out 8 weeks. Muzzin is week to week, basically on a similar injury, I believe more of a fractured .4 instead of a broken than Morgan. So obviously a bit more, it's more dependent on time for him, but they do expect him back on the 27th, I believe, is the date when they play against the Nashville Predators. So I believe that is when they expect Muzzin back, which would be this week and a half by or whatever the exact date is. It might be just under, just over. Will be very beneficial to the rest of his team and for them getting healthy. But what I'm bringing up here is just the overall way the salary cap, how the Leafs can be strategic with this, Justin. They can be very Evil Empire, very Toronto Maple Leafs-esque with this salary cap.
I don't know that they're being very Toronto Maple Leafs-esque. I think they stole the idea from the Chicago Blackhawks, to be completely honest.
Some more Chicago Blackhawks-ish-esque.
I'm not sure, though. Because the salary cap, like the CBA has been renegotiated.
Oh, they've
since then.
It so has. I'm not. But Elliot Friedman did state different yeah, points. It's still an option for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I think so. So the long and the short of it is essentially the Leafs could keep Morgan Rielly on IR until going into the playoffs.
Yep.
And pull him off IR day one of the playoffs, because there's no salary cap implications as far as the team goes come playoff time.
Yep.
Because essentially you should have had your salary managed all year to make it to the playoffs. It's one of those like big legal rigmaroles where you bounce in and out of the rule book. But long and the short, the Leafs have the position of power with their bank account. And, I mean, if they wanted to, they could keep players on such Robota Island, sign a whole
entire, a lot of vacancies there right now. But you know well, I mean? Sort of. They have Clarkson Horton on there right now.
But, I mean, you could build up a third line of doom and, you know what I mean? Then bring all your defensemen back come playoff time. But you have to make the playoffs. Yeah. That's the one big...
It's a tight race, too, in the Atlantic this year.
Well, I think if they started today, we'd be playing Tampa. So it puts us in, like, what, eighth?
Yep.
So.
Like you have a position right now. Actually, I believe it would put us in fifth or sixth because there's wild card one and two.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So essentially. But right now, the Leafs are in a position, okay, where they, I think they should capitalize on this, Justin. Right now, they have the space where they can make...
Yeah, but you've got to be able to make moves. And right now...
But you have Brock, who available, and who has requested a trade. Timoshov, who's expandable. You have Mango, Andreas Janssen. I love calling him Mango. I think it's a sick nickname. Or you have Kasperi Kapanen, which I don't want to see them move. Okay, but you have players you can move because you have the depth that you never thought that they had. And these injuries have made the Leafs show their depth. And that is what's beneficial to them. Maybe you got guys, you're hearing names right now about Brandon Dillon, which I'm a big fan of in San Jose. That would be perfect. The cap is reasonable. And also Gabranson a little bit high, but I'm not really a fan of that. But I get why they want a defenseman like that.
Okay. You have to have something. I mean,
you do, and you gotta if you gotta go to this team and be like, Cody Ceci's got to go back the other way. You have to open up that $4 million somehow. You got to find a way for teams to take that last $4 million because only this year needs a free agent.
Well, and one of the things I find frustrating, and maybe like I just don't see how good or if he's good on the ice, but like no one talks about, you know, throwing Kerfoot in a trade and moving him along.
Yeah.
Because I haven't really seen a whole lot out of him this year that's made me go, wow, this guy was worth trading, you know, mixing the Kadri trade. You know what I mean?
It wasn't. Even Barry wasn't. Even Barry wasn't.
I mean, I'm a little buyer's remorse on that one, maybe.
Yep.
You know, we thought Tyson Barry was going to work out as this, like, NHL 20 quality trade, you know, fantasy hockey blockbuster. And
it didn't.
No.
You have Dylan available, and even Ryan Ellis might be expandable from Nashville.
Well, and for the right move. Do you maybe flip Barry?
Yeah. The Nashville route would be very beneficial probably for Barry. And at the end of the day, Ellis has 6 years left on a contract, a reasonable just over $6 million cap. And he's a guy who's almost got 30 points in 40-some games this
Nashville
year.
Nashville doesn't have any bad defensemen, so they should just take Cody Ceci for a while so they could have one.
At the end of the day, you have players that are available. Forwards aren't really a big need on Toronto right now. It's not a big need. It would be nice if they had a gritty forward, but now we're being too hopeful. You got players, and we're talking about the Leafs right now, but you have Gorgiev, who a lot of people are looking at and saying maybe the Leafs should trade for him. I see it. I get it. But I think their biggest issue is on the back end that they have to focus on. And Gorgiev actually, all right, is in a position in New York where he's going to be demanding, the Rangers are going to be demanding more of a trade, like value for him, which might be more beneficial to them to have inside for a defenseman. He's only making $800K or so this year, Gorgiev.
I'm going to be honest. People might cringe when I say this out loud. But, like, am I totally off my rocker in thinking that maybe they should explore the trade route with Detroit and look at maybe trying to acquire Trevor Daley and having Bernier as a kicker? I know, look at me. Like, give me that awful stare that I suggested bringing Bernier back. But he hasn't been awful for the Red Wings.
He's been a lot more...
He's been better than Michael Hutchinson on a worse team.
And that's where you got to look. The big thing about this discussion is that Toronto can play with this cap, and I think they got to go to Morgan Riley and be like, listen, we are going to trade for it. This is an example.
But he's been hurt all year.
Like, he has. So that's why this is what you tell Morgan. You'd be like, listen, we're giving you 10 weeks off. That gives you till game one of the playoffs.
If
to get healthy. You got to make it. But that's where you tell them, hey, we're going to make it, because if you go on IR for the 2.5, 3 months, that'd be 2 months, I believe. Two months.
Well, yeah, we're mid-February.
Mid-January. So 2 months, maybe 2.5 months. If you go on that IR, we have the position where we can get, this is an example, Ryan Ellis. You go to Morgan Riley and say, hey, I have a trade right now for Ryan Ellis on the table. This puts us having a top four defensive core of Barry, Riley, Muzzin, and Ellis. Okay, which is
Rasmus Sandin.
That kid's going to be something. But you're in the position now.
Was power play, wasn't it? Or was it?
Now the Leafs have actually just scored on the power play. Speaking of the power play, that's where Ellis is fantastic on the penalty kill, blocking shots, and he can play power play. But don't you think if you're Morgan Riley that you just go, okay, if you're going to get me another defenseman like Ryan Ellis, I'll take the extra 2 weeks.
I would personally just take a healthy Morgan Riley for the playoffs.
Yep. And if you get Ellis, that replaces Riley temporarily, where they'll be good enough to make the playoffs. Because people say, well, you don't just want to make the playoffs and get embarrassed. They wouldn't. The Leafs will not get embarrassed when they're healthy in the playoffs. They will not. They're a good hockey team. They need to make the playoffs of this team. It's a disgrace
if they
don't.
Make it in as a lower seed, it's problematic for everyone else.
It is. And what you can do when you bring in Ellis, that's where, yes, you can expand one of the forwards. But then guess what? You can still make a trade number two, and that's where you bring in Brandon Dillon. That's where you move CeCe, and then you let Marinson go to the minors for the rest of the year, or let him go on waivers, whatever the heck you got to do.
He's signed for another year now, Dave.
Yeah, so but you could still send him down.
I think he signed a one-way.
Put him through waivers. Fuck him. And I don't mean no disrespect, but like my point of this is a whole example, where if Riley goes on IR until the playoffs, they can bring in not just one but two defensemen, that being Ellis and also Brandon Dillon. And guess what? They would still have the flexibility to bring in Gorgiev, because Gorgiev only makes $800K. But that's a lot of trades where I don't think Dubas would do, because that really shakes up the team. I'm just giving examples that with the salary cap.
I think all we're going to see is a tweak. I really do. I don't think it's going to be...
But I think he's kind of forced to, but not right now because of the situation is that they're going on a break for a week and a half. And when they come back, so that's why he hasn't made a trade yet. But if there was still, if there was no break, Justin, and that they were in a position where they had five games coming up in the next 2 weeks, I think he would have made a trade. So is he forced to make a trade? Yes, but not right now. If the end of January comes and Muzzin's still not 100%, and then Riley is, man, you're just looking at your D-core and you're not proper, you might buy time until the deadline where then you have to make a trade.
Muzzin skated this morning.
He did. But I still think this team has to make improvements, even if Riley was there and if Muzzin was there. I still think you have to add a D, but then that's when the cap steps in. But that's where you have Cody Ceci. He's gone after this year. That's a player you would trade in that so you can open that cap space.
I don't know.
But now we're talking about a lot. It's a lot of ifs, ands,
and
buts.
You're getting into a lot of hypotheticals.
A lot, and my whole point of that is, though, how I started this whole conversation.
The Leafs have cap flexibility if they want to use it.
Exactly. And that's what I like. NHL, more news, Cassian and Tkachuk. Do you have any thoughts? It's been talked about a lot. Just kind of briefly.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of been beat to death this week, but I think the suspension's bullshit.
You do? Okay. Now, how about Lucci's calling out Cassian? Do you like that, or do you think Tkachuk should just fight him and get it over with?
No, I mean, Lucic is doing what he's got to do.
What's that?
Well, he's got to stand up for his teammate. He doesn't. You can tell the look on it. He doesn't like it.
No.
He's not really happy about it.
No.
I mean, if someone was taking those runs at him, he'd do the same thing. Like, I haven't seen, that was, like, flashbacks to, like, people in junior hockey. Just, like, I don't know. I watched a couple, I had a couple buddies growing up that played junior, and they could, when the switch flipped, it was over. And, like, when Cassian got ran into there, it was, man, he snapped. Like, he was seeing red. He was going to throttle him.
Oh, yeah, he was. And he's a tough cookie, man.
Oh, man.
He might be one of the tougher guys in the National Hockey League.
I don't know if might be a little older, too old for you, but like Brad Dicandia.
Of course. Back oh, God. In the day. Come on, I know Brad.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Like you've, yeah.
Former Thunderbird, buddy.
Well, you've seen, then you've seen what I'm talking about, the switch.
Let's just say that once Cassian did get hit, he got up, and all you see is,
yeah.
There was nobody else around. It was the wilderness, a lion attacking a gazelle.
Like, nothing made me happier than watching. And, like, Tkachuk just ragdolled. Like, yeah. His dad had to have been sitting at home going,
because what do you think his dad would have did?
The same thing.
You think he would have turtled?
No.
He would have fought. Yeah, he would have fought him. If his dad understood the concept. If you're going to hit like that, because his dad was more of a power forward. Where Tkachuk is that, believe it or not, he's classified. Look at that NHL 20. He's classified as a power forward.
No, he's definitely a power forward, but the power forwards in this league are bitches now. So,
yeah, the power forwards.
And
the enforcers are Milan Lucic, where before they were just power forwards.
Like, I don't know. The NHL is fascinating to me this year. Yep. Like, Sheldon Keefe is now like the 25th longest tenured coach in the NHL.
And we're going to get to that right now, too. So I'll give a quick little thing saying that I think Tkachuk should just fought him, not get over it. But now we're saying what-ifs again, just like we did with the Leafs portion for about 8 minutes. So now you know what's going to happen? When it gets Cassian said he better keep his head up, I don't care. Because now people say, yeah, if he goes out, it's intent. Who gives a shit? He is going to hit him.
Oh,
and
he's
going to fucking fight him.
Sure.
End of story. He's going to fight him, and he's going to get him over with. If Tkachuk was smart, and if the coaches were smart, start them. Even though you don't want to see Tkachuk going down, and let them fight. Let him fight, and Cassian's going to kick his ass.
And just
going to happen.
Just go out there and take it.
Yeah. go get your head kicked in.
That's it. Like, the sooner you just get knocked out, like, you don't feel it anymore.
You're done. And Cassian's not an a-hole where he's going to beat you up when you're on the ground. When you're done, he'll stop.
You're lucky he's not in the heat of the moment anymore.
No, and you're lucky he hasn't went to his doorstep yet.
No, I don't think
he would. Absolutely, he would.
But like, I don't know. I really side with Cassian on that because it wasn't just one hit throughout the game.
No, it was a couple. But now people are worried about a Bertuzzi-esque issue.
I don't think so.
You hope not, right?
No,
because that is bad.
I really do think the players police themselves enough where that wouldn't happen.
Do you think so?
Yes.
You think he could?
100%.
Why couldn't Bertuzzi? Because everyone thought he would have been able to. That's another story.
That's a really different topic, Dave, because everyone decided to jump on top and ride everyone like a crazy carpet down the ice with someone laying underneath.
So do you think the punch hurt him? Okay, that's another – okay, yeah. We'll talk another day about that. If you want us to talk about that, to continue that conversation, let us know. We'll do a bonus upload maybe.
Yeah, that could be a whole
– yeah, that's – I did a whole project on that actually. But nonetheless, Tkachuk, yes or no, should have fought him there.
But
now, since he didn't, does he have to fight him?
He has to, regardless. Okay. He has to accept.
So who wins that fight?
Not Kachuk.
Not Kachuk. Coaches getting relieved. Gallant gone. Holy case. There's one person who I'm surprised who hasn't been fired. I'm sorry, Sioux Michigan friends and everything. Jeff Blashill. Is it because they know that they're finishing last? You don't bring in a coach there just to lose the rest of the year? I think that's the case. That's why I say it. I don't think Blashill's getting relieved until the end of the year.
I don't think Stevie Y is the type of guy to embarrass a guy like midseason like that. Like
No. What are you trying to prove this year?
He understands what he's dealing with.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not firing him because he did bad.
Nope.
Like, we didn't give you a team to do anything with. I'm rebuilding the team now. Yep. He's like, what's his name? But the Leafs there. Was it Peter Horchuk?
Yep, there you go.
With, and he had to, you know what I mean? Like, that trash year.
He was like 5-30 or something.
Like, that was, you know, like, that's, it sucks, but that's, you know, you get paid. So just accept it, to cash your checks, and go home.
Yeah, you see, that's where, at the end of the day, coaches are getting relieved quickly. But you have coaches. I'm going to give you this three options. You have Mike Babcock, Laviolette, and Gallant, who is out of a job currently. Who gets hired first, or do any of them find jobs again?
Gallant. 100%.
Yeah, that's why I agree. Now, would it be crazy? Do you see a fit for Gallant in
Detroit?
No. Well, that's a very good
guess. Because that's where I was going with it.
I was
going
to say Montreal, because I don't think Claude Julien's safe. If they don't make the playoffs, I think you're going to see a clean house between Bergevin and Claude Julien. I think they'll do another coaching change.
I really think that Montreal's next move is going to be like someone from the queue.
Okay.
Like promoting a coach from somewhere. Like, because if you look at the NHL lately, it is just it's the worst recycling bin I've ever seen in my life. It's like, you know what? I've wore those underwear 30 years ago. Let's try it again.
Let's try it again.
You know, like these guys just keep, they get fired and they get another team will fire their coach to hire him. Like,
You have Ron Francis right now who's like, I might wait a year to hire a coach. Do you think with all these coaches that are available right now that he's like, hey, maybe I don't wait a year?
No, maybe he's.
Maybe busy. I do it next week.
Maybe he's busy scouting elsewhere.
Maybe. Smart move.
Well, really, why? If
and coaching moves have helped. Look at Toronto's had success. Sheldon Keefe.
If you're a brand new franchise coming into the league,
do you bring in a recycled coach?
Well, I don't know what ownership has to work with there. Like, I mean, money wise, you obviously have enough because you bought an NHL team.
Yep.
But why are you going to bring in a coach that may not work with a roster and will be an expensive firing?
Well, don't you think that Gallant worked out for Vegas? Why wouldn't he work for another expansion team? Or do you think that's just a lucky thing that happened?
I think he was only on a 3-year contract, so Vegas only has to pay him for a couple weeks, and the contract's up.
DeBoer right away. It's like when Vegas knew that they're kind of a rush, but it's like they knew they wanted him as soon as he got fired.
That one just rubs me the wrong way.
40 days and he was out of a job.
A clown. 40, last year in the playoffs, and then he gets replaced by him.
40 days he was out of a job. Same thing as, you know, you have the situation where coaches are getting moved over, and at the end of the day, you think that Gallant's the third one out of the three, as I mentioned, is going to go first? Absolutely.
Yeah, no, 100%. He's
100%. Interesting. Marty Brodeur gets back in the NHL, the role of the Devils. Surprise, surprise. You have a lot of these players that are coming into the roles of the National Hockey League now that we've seen when we were younger, Justin. You know, you have Marty Brodeur, obviously you have Shanahan, Yzerman, and the list goes on.
Yeah, I got one there. That's going to melt your mind.
Shoot.
Dion Phaneuf is shadowing Brendan Shanahan this weekend.
For what?
Learning the business side of hockey.
Interesting. I wonder how much.
Because I almost had a stroke when the headline of the article was Dion Phaneuf spotted at Maple Leafs headquarters.
Imagine 1 year, $700K.
And at that point, I was already like three steps onto second line.
1 year, $700K, Dion Phaneuf to the Leafs. Just kidding. That's
a
joke.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Tuukka Rask gets punched in the head. Do you have any thoughts with that? No call.
I'm okay with it. Personally. I've been trolling Bruins fans on Facebook and like... Anyone in the Boston area the last few weeks, like half the city of Boston probably has me blocked on Facebook after the Patriots lost, and I was sharing Titans memes on all their face.
Get some feeds.
But the Tuukka Rask thing, he got elbowed in the head, and there was no call. But
was that a purpose?
Maybe.
100%.
Okay, but 100%. None of the Boston players have ever done it to any Leafs goalie on purpose, so cry me a river.
So he's placed on IR.
Yeah, well,
you know, the Bruins like that IR, too. Yeah, maybe Rask goes on IR, and they make a trip.
I guess Boston shit stinks when it lands in their own lap, eh?
Boston Bruins leading the way in the Atlantic Division. Coach of the Decade was voted by NHL.com, and...
It was not me.
Joel Quenneville was not Mike Babcock. Rick Tocchet. It was definitely not Bill Peters, sorry. too soon.
Dave.
That situation just burns my mind. I just think that is a disgusting kind of how Peters was, but that was my shot to him, not just the situation. But Rick Tocchet of the Arizona Coyotes was named to replace Gerard Gallant as Pacific coach. I love how John Scott reached out and said that he wanted to be the coach. I wish they would have did that, but I guess you can't.
No, I think the NHL has tried to separate themselves from John Scott as much as they possibly could.
100%, but Rick Tocchet is a good substitution. But nonetheless, everything that we talked about here in the NHL, that's how much time that we have to discuss right into that. What do you think about what we talked about? Are we on track with a lot of the points? If you think you disagree, let us know. Below is the word. Nick Bonneau is not even a player. Nick Bonino is a player. Come on, Dave. That's going to be
down.
A segment on TV. Nonetheless, as I take a quick breath there, Justin, the NBA, I want to say quickly, the NBA, just kind of a quick thing around the court. Things are looking status quo. Giannis Antetokounmpo is being Giannis Antetokounmpo. And overall, the Raptors have Marc Gasol back in the lineup. This is a team that's battled injuries all year, and they're still a top four in the conference. And they won 130-121 yesterday. Very high-scoring game. They play against Washington tomorrow and the Wizards. And the Timberwolves, a team that I thought would be really improved, but Karl-Anthony Towns requesting a trade. Players requesting trades out of there nonstop. Something's going on with that organization. But overall in the NBA standings, you have the Lakers, you know, looking very strong, looking like they might make a trade still, too. They're always trying to improve. They're leading away 33-8, as expected. But a team at the bottom, 9-33, the injured riddled Warriors, line 9 straight losses, Justin.
Wow.
The tides have changed in the NBA this season.
I mean, they're, you know, on essentially like their third round of bench players. So,
nonetheless,
makes sense.
Nonetheless, we usually get into more NBA discussion on Wednesdays, and we'll save that for our Wednesday discussion. Want to get a little bit of love to the NBA and chat there. And Bianca Andreescu not playing in the Australian Open really sucks to see. Big fan of her, and obviously that dinner that she had with Paul Bissonnette and Serge Ibaka and Penny Oleksiak was awesome to see. Paul Bissonnette was there. I know Paul is, you know, got some ties and some people that we know here on the show, but nonetheless, I don't think he's going to really take the time to listen at this current part of the show. But if he does, sounds like he was just happy to be there. You know what I'm saying? He was just loving to be there, and it was just great to see with Penny and Bianca, but sad that she, with the Australian Open, how she will not be really a part of that. But Brad Jacobs, another special shout out to him for the good luck in the rest of the Grand Slam of the Canadian Open. There, Justin, and NFL right now, we're going to have a In the Pocket bonus segment come up hopefully tomorrow or Saturday. That is our plan. Hopefully we'll have no delays in upload. So if it doesn't come up, we apologize. And just in case that it doesn't, I still want to get your intake in terms of who you think is going to win what. And I love this playoffs, man. I love it. I'm loving it. I am riding. If I can go first quickly, I am riding the Tennessee, the Titans, baby. I am riding that team all the way in. I love seeing what the Pack and the 49ers have done. But seeing Henry beat the Titans defeat the Patriots and then also defeating the Ravens, love seeing it. And I think the Titans are going to the Super Bowl, and you're going to see a Titans – and wow, I can't believe I'm saying this. Titans-Packers Super Bowl. That is my prediction this year. I am going to give some love to the Cheeseheads fans.
See,
and I'll predict the winner next week.
I'm on the Titans train pretty hard.
Yes.
I mean, you control the clock, you win the game. Why does my phone keep doing that?
You're popular, man.
I don't know. But no, I'm on the Titans train pretty hard. You control the clock, you win the game. Their defense has been just...
They haven't kicked a field goal since week 15.
Like, their defense has been good enough to keep them in the game.
Yep.
Like, and
Henry's average, 120 plus yards.
I know he had
game.
200 yards last weekend. And he threw for a touchdown.
He's on my fantasy this year, and you know.
But no, I'm taking Titans and 49ers in the Super Bowl. And I honestly don't have a prediction as to who would win that yet.
So you said Titans and 49ers.
Yeah. Really good run game against a really good defense.
Very interesting. The NFL has been exciting. Hopefully if Jamie and or Adrian for In the Pocket special upload. If that doesn't get to you, we will let you know when we do. But we plan to have that released on Saturday morning. Dave McKay here with the Game Sports Show. We're going to let Justin go here. But when we come back, it's going to be myself and Connor Henderson talking to MLB and Justin. I don't think there's a lot of news in the MLB, though. So why are we having Connor on?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought the only thing going on in the Texas area was Jerry Jones having a meltdown.
I had to get Connor Henderson to take out his sunglasses and, you know, put on his suit and stop drinking the pina colada for having a little off season to having to do an actual little, let's just say, analysis on some very legal news and something that Connor's familiar with on the legal side. It'd be very interesting to get his take on that. So we'll have him for the final part of the show before we wrap it up. Justin, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I'll make sure I linger in the background and bang on garbage cans.
Love that. And also thanks again to Mark Hebert and Charlie Murray, but I'll give it more of a special shout out at the end of part four, which is coming up momentarily. Don't go anywhere. The Game Sports Show is honored to give a shout out to North Shore Sports and Auto, sponsor of the Game Sports Show since January 2016. North Shore Sports and Auto has a brand new, beautiful location on 71 Old Garden River Road in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. North Shore Sports and Auto Incorporated began in 2008 as a used automotive and recreational vehicle dealer located in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. In December 2013, North Shore Sports and Auto officially became a licensed BRP dealership. BRP has been and continues to be a world leader in industry of motorized recreational vehicles and power sport engines for over 70 years. North Shore is proud to say that they carry, support, and service Ski-Doo snowmobiles, Sea-Doo watercraft and boats, and Can-Am all-terrain and side-by-side vehicles. They also have a variety of used automotive and recreational vehicles along with much more to offer. You can check out North Shore Sports and Auto's website at NorthShoreSportsandAuto.com and on Facebook at North Shore Sports and Auto, also on Instagram at NorthShore.Sports. Doesn't matter the season, North Shore has you covered to be able to enjoy it. As a family-owned and operated business, they understand the importance of quality service and products, and they work hard to ensure that all customers have a positive experience before and after each and every sale. North Shore Sports and Auto, they are committed to providing the best products at the best prices. The Game Sports Show is pleased to shout out a partner, additional home, and sponsor to Northern Superior Brewing Company, located on 50 Pym Street in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Northern Superior Brewing Company having a strong presence locally with many beers to offer. With much involvement in the community of Sault Ste. Marie, Northern has a sport and friendly-like atmosphere within its tap room, and during the summer months, it is a must to visit Pier 55 to enjoy some delicious food, amazing view of the water, and view of the Bush Plume Museum, right on the cusp of the Hub Trail, and of course, all of that down with a delicious brew from Northern Superior. Northern Superior Brewing Company. It's a Northern thing.
Hi, this is Joe Bowen, and you're listening to the Game Sports Show from Sault Ste. Marie.
Welcome back to the Game Sports Show, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It is your host, David McCaig. Still with you here tonight inside Northern Superior Brewing Company's tap room here in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. And I'm here joined from not Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, a bit more south, if you will, Connor Henderson. Connor, our baseball analyst. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Dave. Glad to be back. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Now, I know it's technically the off season for baseball, okay? But we've had you on a couple times based on the free agency signings, all that news, and then we figured maybe you might get a little vacation, you know, maybe until in February or something. But I pulled you away from the beach, per se, or more so the snowstorm probably that's happening everywhere. But pulled you away from the beach and your pina coladas to come and talk a little bit of baseball. And I guess a little bit is putting it lightly because of everything that's been happening in the past. Never mind 24 hours. I guess it's been even more than that.
Yeah, it's been an absolute nightmare for the Houston Astros. And heads are rolling left and right. It's an absolute... it's hilarious. I mean, I don't like to see people lose their jobs, but I've never seen something like this in my lifetime.
It's been insane. Now, is it more of a disaster for the Astros or is it more of a disaster for the MLB?
That is an excellent question. I'd say personally the Astros, because the MLB is doing everything they can now to hammer everybody involved. You have Carlos Beltran, who got fired before he even managed a game. So like the culture sweep, especially for something as scandalous as sign stealing is, I feel like the MLB is doing all it can at this point.
They're doing a lot. You have Beltran, like you said, with the Mets, gone. You have Alex Cora, gone with the Red Sox.
See you later.
Yeah, you got AJ Hint. See you later. It's just a yard sale right now in the major in the MLB for the managers and everyone involved. Now you got the more of these stories coming out with Jose Altuve today okay, with that jersey. No, don't pull my jersey off. Now you got people zooming in on his jersey, and it seems like there's a microphone under his jersey. Like, I don't know what to tell or what to see. There's no proof. You got yours or Jose Altuve saying, I would never do that. Okay, he sounds like Bill Clinton saying, I never had sexual relations with that woman. Sorry, our U.S. listeners. I'm not sure if the United States is going to come after me with that comment. But end of the day, you have all this stuff that's going on. And it's absolute nightmare that's going on. But the media, including me, yourself, and here on the Game Sports Show, I'm laughing. I think it's absolutely hilarious. I think everyone's getting caught on and everything that's going on. It's sad to see that it's happening in baseball. And ultimately, if everyone's been missing out, if you've been living under a rock, basically what has happened is that the Astros have been caught for sign stealing, per se. It's been happening for quite some time, and it's something that's been an issue where even the Jays were kind of blamed for this a couple years back, if you remember, Connor. I think it was in 2016, 2015, where they were kind of someone in the back.
The infamous white shirt.
Exactly. In center field, I believe, is where this was all happening. I'm not too sure,
yeah.
Top of my head. But now this is something that's happening right now where you're going to get in if you're any kind of involvement with the Houston Astros organization with the sign stealing, from an assistant coach to a water boy to a freaking fan, it seems like if you're involved in the sign stealing, you're in shit.
Dave, I watched the series, every single game of it. I'm surprised I haven't been fired yet.
Literally, it's been an absolute nightmare for the Astros, as you said. Now, I want you to get in detail, Connor, about the whole sign and steal situation, how this all came about, if you have that kind of news, and also if you can state how the Astros pulled this off. It was kind of the third base coach stealing, and the coaches stealing size fans. Can you give the listeners a little bit of background, kind of from what you understand of the situation?
Yeah, this is a very sophisticated move. Usually in baseball, a sign gets stolen from a base runner who reaches second base and picks off a catcher's lazy signs and then relays that to the batter. But in this case, we had the third base coach. We had video cameramen. We had electric patches underneath players like Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, giving signals like with vibrations that would allow them to know when certain pitches were coming, whether that be an off-speed pitch or a fastball. And for these exceptionally good hitters, that's all they need. I mean, Jose Altuve is a 300 hitter with his eyes closed without cheating. And with cheating, you get a World Series ring. So I've never seen something as orchestrated and well well executed as this. It's just amazing that everything went tumbling down the second Mike Fiers made an offhanded comment about the fact that his team cheated.
All that, and then obviously you have some tweets today, everything that's coming out with open about Altuve and Bergman, and wow. If the Astros would have won the World Series between 2018 and this year, okay, if that would have happened, okay, would they have been stripped of the World Series?
You know what? That is an excellent question. I don't think they would have. But then in that case, the MLB, it looks like an absolute joke. They're lucky that this happened 2 years ago and people are kind of over and done with the fact that that was their World Series championship. But if this happened multiple times right under their nose, then yeah, the MLB should be embarrassed and they'd probably take out that embarrassment on the Houston Astros and potentially even strip the title from them, yes.
Definitely. Now, you had the Nationals defeat them this year. Last year, you had the Red Sox win against the Dodgers, obviously. But obviously, Alex Cora, who was involved with this with Houston from some extent, is now not with the Red Sox. But there's obviously been some sign-stealing scandals from there. This doesn't just come from the Astros, does it? It comes from, obviously, there's been, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, has there been some issues with the Boston Red Sox as well? And also, I guess, the Blue Jays before in 2016, as I mentioned.
Yeah, it's surprising that these organizations that are known for being so cutting edge are living on that edge when it comes to stealing signs. Boston, Toronto for a moment, and Houston are all very analytically driven organizations. And it's really surprising that maybe this was the secret sauce all along.
I look at it, and do you think when Jose Altuve said, I never wore a wire in my life, is he lying?
Yes. Like, in my opinion, yeah.
Now, I know it's going to be hard to kind of prove it, but that picture with him zoomed in on a little seemed to be wire, or unless he has an enlarged hair on his pectoral muscles.
That's what that was. He's got a condition where his skin just grows massive hairs.
Yeah, massive hairs when he's at bat only, though. Don't rip my shirt off. Don't pour water on me. I'll get fucking electrocuted. You know, I might fry up. I'll be an Altuve lunch, if you will. Now, you have the Nationals who won against the Astros. And I couldn't agree more. I think if they would have won the World Series this year or even last year, or be more so last year, I guess. But, God, that World Series title would be stripped. Not the team that was in there against them would have won it. It just would have been a non-voided year. I guess you can't just crown another World Series champion. I don't think that would be fair. Correct me if I'm wrong. But nonetheless, the Astros got caught for this. And are you happy that they got caught? And is this going to change the scenery of baseball?
Well, this is absolutely bittersweet because, as you know, like a personal, like my favorite player, Justin Verlander, now has his only World Series ring tainted, right? Now, as a pitcher, it's like harder for them to cheat on his side of the baseball, but he's involved. He used to be an advocate against sign stealing. I didn't hear a peep from him, right?
Huh. No, so nothing.
It's really disappointing when you see people that you look up to like that just kind of let you down. So I'd say that it's bittersweet. I'm glad that they got caught. It's hilarious they got caught in the way that they did with Mike Fiers. But Dave, what's your personal opinion when it comes to sign stealing in baseball?
See, if I had to say what sign stealing in baseball, very good question. I like how you turn the question over to the host. I love that. See, that is why you're the best baseball analyst around. I don't care what anybody says. I'll say... I like how you do whatever it takes to win. I'm a fan of that, but not by cheating. Sign stealing is cheating. It is not fair. It's bullshit, if I'm going to go by typical Dave McKay language. And also, it's not right. It's not meant for the game of baseball. It doesn't fit with the game of baseball. I don't think it fits in any way, shape, or form. You can't do that in hockey. You can't sign steal. You can't. You know, the goalie's going to make a glove save or a blocker save, or you're going to go five hole, whatever it may be. Because you can't do that. Basketball, you can't really sign steal either. Maybe you can call a play different from when a coach calls from a bench. But baseball, and I guess football, you can almost do it a little bit, depending on if you know what Omaha 5500 from Peyton Manning is. But at the end of the day, it seems like baseball is the only kind of sport you can get away with it. And the Astros were genius about this. I'll say right now, they were pretty discreet until one player decided to go whoop and bleep it out. I guess that was the only kind of issue where someone turned their back on an employer, if you will, and former, whatever you want to say, and you get caught for it. So ultimately, I'm happy they got caught. Sign stealing in baseball is not meant for the game of baseball. It's not a fit in the game of baseball. It shouldn't be in the game of baseball. I like to see that natural talent. I like to kind of compare it to the steroids, if I can, Connor. And here's why. It's different. I guess it's different where if you have Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa dinging 65 dingers, 72 dingers, I think was the exact one Bonds got in a season. But at the end of the day, did Bonds do that on the hands of cheating? Yes, he did. He did steroids. Now, I'd be lying to you if I said if I wasn't in the 90s and the early 1000s that I wouldn't have done steroids. Hey, I wouldn't have minded hitting 72 dingers out of the park. Heck, I'd probably do it now in men's league if I knew I'd get away with it. But at the end of the day, it's still cheating. It's not a fit for the game. I love seeing that natural talent. You know where you see that natural talent? I thought you do see it in Jose Altuve. Okay, that's natural talent in terms of getting on base, but I'm not including the sign stealing on here. But like Vlad Guerrero, Mike Trout is the best baseball player in the world, in my opinion, okay? And I like seeing natural talent in the game done naturally. Guys that hit 40, 50, 60 dingers without the use of steroids, pure hard work. Teams winning games by being a team and by earning a championship by being a team. If you have to steal signs to win a game, then you're not truly that good of a ball team. I don't care how much talent you have. And if you're cheating, if they were cheating this year, Washington beat you. So if you were actually cheating this year and you get caught for things this year, Marshall, in just 2018, nonetheless, you're going to get caught. And I'm happy they got caught. Sign stealing in baseball is not fit for the game, Connor. Am I on the right track, or did I use some bullshit analogy that made no sense?
You're definitely on the right track, 100%. The sad part is, I know personally, when I used to play baseball, I would steal signs all the time. It was my favorite thing to do. If the other team's head coach is going to lay down some limpy, two-sign, no-fake bunt signal, you think I'm not going to tell my third baseman, yo, like, move up 4 or 5 steps? Of course. I don't want to leave my pitcher out to dry. If I'm on second base and I knew a fastball was coming in, I'd flash my hands in the air. Or if I knew a breaking ball was coming in, I'd drop my hands to my knees, right? Those were little tips. But the degree of sign stealing is what makes this just truly reprehensible. This isn't like one base runner deciphering the Da Vinci Code and then relaying it for one or two batters, right? This is an orchestrated, every single pitch coming in, just like mob mentality sort of approach to sign stealing. And I feel like that's where you get into a real predicament. If we didn't agree with sign stealing in general, like if you break it down to its like logical extension, catchers should just say, hey, a fastball's coming. Hey, a curveball's coming. Of course, there needs to be some degree of suppression in your game plan. And if you don't suppress it properly, then you have a shitty game plan. But in this case, they took it way too far, and it's just a disgrace.
It is. Now, I like how you said that you noticed it, right? And you're obviously familiar with baseball, playing, coaching, being a part of everything here locally in the Sioux and just overall playing. So if you have the ability as a player to recognize those signs, especially from a blatant way that you put it, if you know it's an obvious steal sign, slow, off-speed, fastball, whatever it may be, then if you can recognize that as a player, that is awareness. Now, everyone who knows awareness in the game of a sport game, you can look at NHL 20. For example, or MLB The Show, there is an awareness kind of level for a player. There's that little ticker that says offensive awareness or batter awareness. There's different awarenesses, okay? So that's a thing. Awareness is a thing. If you don't agree with me or believe me, you can look it up. So if you have a 99 awareness, obviously that Connor Henderson does, okay? If you have a 99 awareness opposed to a Dave McKay 62 awareness, and that's not because of science, you know, just knowing if the weather's hot or cold. It just literally, if you have the ability from catching that, yes, hell yeah. That's talent. I think that's pure talent. That is developed talent. That goes to that point with me. But if you got Joe Blow in the stands and you got Joe Blow behind the bench or in the dugout, and then you got one guy with a vibrator. I know it's a sexual term, but I'm putting a vibrator. I'm calling it the vibrator. The vibrator on the chest, and it starts buzzing, and you get a little tingle down your, you know, down towards your you-know-what area. Then, you know, it's a fastball. Oh, okay, I guess I'm swinging here. Are you feeling a little good? No. Jokes aside, you got the vibrator on. You're cheating. Okay, that is taking it to a degree that I can't even fathom. I am so impressed with Houston pulling this off and trying it, but I guess really they didn't pull it off. But really to really get that going to that degree, like you said, Connor, holy Christ. God bless, okay? Like, and for them to be able to go home and say, oh, I think we're going to get away with this one. You know, hey, nice vibration you sent Altuve. He just hit a dinger off our oldest Chapman tonight. What vibrator did you use? Oh, I used the stroke mentality. I used that one, that stroke one on the body. Yeah, that one. It probably had different feels, and I'm going off the rails in terms of using sexual references here, and I'm fine with that, okay? I'm just overall saying here, okay, that – it's not fit for the game, but if you can catch it like you did, Connor, I think that's pure talent, and I think that's more fit for the game than using electronic vibrating devices.
Yeah, when you enter, when you add like literal hardware onto a player like RoboCop, then it's not baseball.
It's not. Like, what is there to say that on that vibrator that I call it? You don't have to call it a vibrator. I'm just gonna go with it. That maybe there's enhanced strength on there. You know, what am I? Obviously, I feel like I'm talking Marvel movies now and getting off track. But what if that vibrator is like that little twitch, that little strength that gets that little spasm in your muscle to be able to twist your hips quicker? Now you have more power to, I don't know, maybe you can hit the ball farther. I don't know. I know obviously you can hit the ball farther because you know if it's an off speed or a fastball coming to you. So obviously that's already cheating as it is there. But at the end of the day, what if that? But what if that does something to your body? Is that a different extent, or am I getting off the rails now? Is that a little too far?
That's maybe a little bit far-fetched, yeah.
Okay, a little far-fetched. Okay, I'll start laying off the Marvel comics. I promise. I'll make sure I don't bring that in any further.
They're great films, though. They are.
At the end of the day, all jokes aside, Science Student's huge today with this investigation. Guess who's rumored for the Astros job? I'm sure you saw it.
Ooh, tell them.
Tell them. Tell them. Johnny Gibbons. That little Gibber.
Gibber's going to...
Gibber going over to the Houston Astros. If that happens, if that gets confirmed, I don't know. It could be confirmed while we're recording tomorrow. Maybe it's going to be somebody else. Heck, maybe it's going to be Connor Henderson. It's going to be the next manager of the Houston Astros. But at the end of the day, we don't know what's going to happen. They have too much drama going on. If Gibby goes and manages that team, he's getting the silver platter or getting the white glove treatment by going to that ball club.
Yeah, Gibby is the culture shift that Houston needs. Change my mind.
Literally, he'd be something different. He's different than AJ Hinch is, and his bubbles will be blowing very good. And I bet you that bubble, that's how they're going to do it now. I call it right now. Their next sign-stealing scandal is how big John Gibbons blows his bubbles, and that bubble sends a vibration to the vibrator that sends a vibration throughout the whole Coliseum field, whatever the heck there are, and they know it's an off-speed, and they're going to hit a dinger, and they're going to win the World Series in 2020.
That is absolutely correct. I back you 100%.
I love it. We have fun. Okay, so we'll leave the science. You and I will talk and touch more about this. We've dived into what it is, what we feel about it, what has happened. Ultimately, to wrap up that point, I'm going to say right now that Hinch and that getting 1 year banned, that's insane. That's awesome. I think it actually could have been even more. If with Beltran getting a job again in Cora, I don't think you're going to see that for quite some time. I think you're going to see Alex Cora selling hot dogs outside Fenway Park this year. And I did see that. That was on social media. I did take that from somewhere. I can't take credit for that. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to change. It's almost like the NHL coaching issues where, no, it's not the same in terms of the allegations that are going on. But someone like Bill Peters is not going to get a job in the National Hockey League anymore. I almost think that AJ Hinch, yeah, he's still with the Astros, he gets a ban. But does this lead where the Astros just go, hey, should we just clean house because of all this that's going on?
The Astros have to, especially like they've already had the scandal with their assistant general manager. Now this, yeah, you have to burn it to the ground. Of course, you'll keep your players because they sell you tickets, but managers are replaceable. Lord knows that AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhow might have been fired in 2 years anyway. So yeah, you look good by firing them as an organization. And in terms of guys like Carlos Beltran, after seeing his embarrassing burner Twitter account, I don't think anybody should ever hire him ever again.
You know what? There's a guy who had such a positive career, eh? And now it's now you look at it, it's such a great career. But do you even think of that career? What's going to come now first to mind down the road?
Cheater.
Exactly. And now you wonder if this was something that was done when he was a player. I'm sure it wasn't because this guy was one. I believe he was a natural-ish talent. Maybe I'm wrong. But at the end of the day, this guy will never manage again. And who knows? Maybe John Gibbons. If he's hired by the Houston Astros, maybe he goes in and wins a World Series this year. I think credibility is the way that the Houston Astros have to go. They have to salvage whatever the hell they have left, burn it to the ground, whoever was involved, make sure everyone who was involved is gone from the MLB, get that out, clean house, restart fresh. And I know that the MLB is going to do right because they've already done right. I kind of think they should have given Hinch more than a one-year ban. I don't think that was harsh whatsoever. But I would be surprised if he does return. Now, Connor, you and I here at Northern Spirit Brewing Company, me in the flesh, you miles away or kilometers away or feet away, I don't know, whatever country you want to live in, whatever you're tuning in for, whatever kind of measurements that you use for distance. Nonetheless, we are farther away, but he still feels like that he's here. We're having some fun talking baseball. We are a little bit over time, so we'll kind of go as quick as we can here with some other news and discussion with Josh Donaldson. Okay. Here's a guy that signed a four-year, $92 million contract. If he takes that fifth year, he'll be basically like 39 years old, almost like 3,900, and he will be making over $100 million on this deal. Now, what do you feel about the deal with Josh Donaldson? Overpaid, desperation, or are you not on my realm when I say that?
I know you're not a big fan of these massive contracts in baseball. That's evident. Yeah, I would have to agree with you. It's a big price to pay. But you know what? I love to see it. Josh Donaldson is a guy who didn't only resurrect his career from the dead once, he's now done it twice. So it's amazing. It's an amazing story. The bringer of rain has now officially brought even more rain to his bank account. And when you hit the ball like he does, and the fact that he still can play the defensive position, as we talked about on off air, it's excellent for him. And I'm really proud that a guy like that, who did so much for the only Canadian team in our country, is now able to get his money himself.
See, one thing that I'll say, and I'll say what we kind of jumped into on air, because I know some people don't talk about what they say off air because they think it's all censored. Nah. I'm not going to hold back for what I said. This guy had a dead arm with the Blue Jays in his last year. He gets traded to the Cleveland Indians for basically some Chips Ahoy cookies, a six pack of Carly Nice, sorry. That's more of the cheaper beer, still good beer from Molson. Obviously, we represent a lot of Molson and Northern Superior here, mostly Northern, obviously, because we are in Northern. Also, on top of that, maybe they got a piece of leftover chocolate cake from my six-year-old niece's birthday party. So on top of that deal that they got, garbage with the Jays, maybe the prospect will work out or not. He goes to Cleveland, suspect at best. Cleveland's not successful. And then he moves on from Cleveland, okay, and after moving on from Cleveland, he ends up joining the Atlanta Braves. And, wow, he doesn't have dead arm anymore. You know, his arm is not dead. It's quite alive. It seems like he's 25 again. The guy's hucking across the diamond like he won his MVP season. He's hitting dingers like he did with the Jays. And, hey, sometimes in your veteran years, you know, you get that spark, you get it back, you know. But this was a guy that apparently had dead arm. And, listen, I'm sitting here right now in Northern slash standing. I've been rotating while I've been talking, Connor, because I'm on modified duties from work. And my back is a mess. I'm 28 years old. Okay, I've injured it four times. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. And the reason why I'm talking about my back and me right now is because I re-injure it. And I've been told that my back is not the best. And I've done whatever I can to always strengthen it so I can play the sports I love, hockey and baseball, etc. Josh Donaldson, I'm sure, has seen doctors that make millions of dollars a year that are not, I shouldn't say, better than the doctors that I'm seeing, okay, because the doctors I'm seeing are fantastic. But I'm sure that these doctors must be miracle workers, okay? Because I know from people that are older that played hockey at the professional level, that have played baseball at higher levels, that when they have a dead arm or their shoulder's done or they have their Tommy John, it doesn't heal right, that they're not back the same. They are not back the same. Josh Donaldson, for some reason, seems like he went into a lair. Okay, he got a couple injections, a couple arm workouts, and he's back on the field like he has a Terminator arm. Okay, like, I don't understand. Can you explain how, besides the corny way of saying it with rehabilitation and good doctors, does it make sense how his arm was just suddenly revived like he's 25 years old again?
It makes you wonder if Alex Anthopoulos knew about this potential resurgence in his arm before they rematched together back in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Being together with the Jays, it makes you wonder. But especially with all the research and development we've seen with elbow surgery, specifically Tommy John, it's really interesting to see, because I'm pretty sure with Donaldson it was the shoulder, correct?
Yes, it was the shoulder. It's down the arm towards the elbow. Like, it was a lot of different things, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's a completely different and unique case to him. And the fact that he has that cannon, I mean, we mentioned before, he used to be a catcher, so he does have an absolute rocket of an arm. But when you're a good hitter like that, you move them away from the plate. You don't want them tired and concussed. But yeah, no, for Josh Donaldson, the fact that he can still play defensively and that he signed that contract with the expectation of being more than just a designated hitter, that's incredible. Good for him.
Definitely. Now, I'm not taking it away from, like, good for him. I'm just tripping a little bit because all of a sudden he's great. And then now, obviously, he signs in Minnesota and his fielding has, you know, everything has changed. But all the power to him. Hey, if you can go get $100 million at 34 years old, I believe is his exact age, that you can go out there and get that money afterwards and, you know, be treated like an all-star, good for you. All the power to you. But like you said, makes me wonder about this arm, like what kind of doctors he is seeing, because I know a lot of people that might want to go see these particular doctors so they can get back into the game, if you know what I'm saying. Now, last thoughts with baseball, Connor. You know, anything you want to bring up quickly before we let you go? I know we kind of, like I said, I know we were aiming for a 20-minute-ish segment. We're going up a little bit more overtime. Maybe we had some more fun with the sign-stealing discussion. But you have, obviously, a lot of changes happened since we last talked, like Baumgartner goes over to Arizona. Obviously, we talked about Donaldson. You have Nolan Arenado, rumors flying all over the place. You have the Toronto Blue Jays, are they still looking to add another pitcher, or are they done? Anything you want to bring up, even with the Tigers, anything you want to bring up before we let you go?
I'd just like to mention briefly that Toronto Blue Jays fans should be happy with their offseason. They addressed their position of weakness, that's pitcher. They brought in Hyunjin Ryu, and with him, all of his lovely South Korean super fans.
Love it.
Which I'm sure, as a Canadian, very diverse culture that is Toronto and Canada in general, they'll love it. So he's a great addition to the team. Let's hope he stays healthy. And for Detroit Tigers fans, thank the Lord that we finally have some home run power coming back to our lineup with the additions of CJ Cron and Jonathan Schoop, just stealing Minnesota's infield. So it makes sense why the Twins would want to move on Donaldson, seeing that their first and second baseman from last season are moving across the pond from Minnesota to Detroit.
Yeah, but now you know what the Tigers, obviously you being a big Tiger guy, and us here in the Gain Sports Show having obviously a wide range of listeners from different areas of the globe, which we appreciate in that as well. But obviously we have a lot of different American listeners, so obviously the Tigers spiel there was definitely appreciated, Connor. As you know, especially being here in Canada, I've seen the press conferences for the Toronto Blue Jays with the South Koreans. Love it. You know, I'm loving it. You know, all this change with pitching, it just gives me a bit more faith in Shapiro and Atkins. I'm sure they were feeling the fire this offseason. Like, hey, I know we're not a World Series team yet. I get it, especially with Gerrit Cole taking $1 zillion. I know that's not the true number. It's $324 million, if I remember correctly, right now. But you're in a division that's tough, but you're also in a division that's very fragile right now. The Red Sox going through change with their manager. They didn't have the greatest of all years. I think Toronto could be a little dark horse this year. Are they going to make a playoff run this year? No, I don't really. Early prediction, no, but they can make some noise next year, though. That's why you get these four- or five-year contracts. They come here for the process. I hate taking something from the Philadelphia 76ers, but trust the process. I've been doing that with the Maple Leafs, been doing that with the Raptors. I saw one team win a championship, the other not even that close. But the Toronto Blue Jays have had a lot of positives here in Canada. You know, a lot of movement with when they did have Mount Crushmore and all these changes. I think a lot of Blue Jays fans should be very excited. Now, Connor, like I said, you and I went a little extended, but hey, we're allowed to do that here. We're hitting about the 30-minute mark of having you on, and I appreciate you coming on the show as always. And now for sign stealing, did you like the vibrator comment or did you not?
I coach younger players. I it's not really my style personally, but this is the Game Sports Show, so it's the wild, wild west sometimes.
I like that. Definitely good professional way to take it there, Connor. I like that. Now, Connor, I want to say thank you to you for coming on, giving you giving you kind of an air hug from here because I miss you, buddy. And I'm upset that you're not going to be at our pictures on Saturday, but we'll make sure when you come home in the summer that you and I will have one together, and maybe hopefully with a baseball championship this summer together. But nonetheless, all jokes aside, you and I will be in touch in the coming weeks as a sign stealing scandal, the Triple S scandal, if you will. I said it first, just in case if anyone ever steals that. The Triple S scandal here on the Gain Sports Show covering baseball. Make sure that we get you on, and if there's any updates in the very near future, Connor. So again, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dave.
It's Dave McKay here for the Game Sports Show, wrapping up tonight's bit more lengthier edition of the Game Sports Show. But hey, we didn't have a show Tuesday. We didn't actually have a show the last couple Tuesdays on TV due to yours truly being sick and having a back injury, getting all that at once. Wednesday, we did not have shows this past couple Wednesdays as well at SportsCenter. We've only had our Monday shows, and I shouldn't really say only because Scott obviously covering the bases, if you will, pun intended, for our baseball segment here, and hitting a home run on all the shows on Monday, covering all of our absences, and obviously Alex covering last week Thursday from Northern Superior. I'm happy to be back covering the show. Hopefully that I'm healthy going forward for the rest of the year. Big year coming for the Game Sports Show. I want to thank you to Mark Hebert and also to Charlie Murray with Sioux College Cougars, GM and Director of Hockey Operations, also The scout is Charlie Murray of Sioux College Cougars. Check them out on Facebook, Instagram, social media, their website, and also make sure you get tickets for their Winter Classic game. I want to say thank you to Trevor Zachary, GM of the Thunderbirds, also GM here at Northern Superior. Jeff DeCorporal, one of the operators and owners here at Northern Superior, and Blake Winter, the brewmaster here at Northern Superior Brewing Company. I want to thank you to Justin Heichel, who has done a great job and a part, as always, here with the Game Sports Show. And he was not here for the last part of the show, but he was here for part 1 and 3, and very happy that he was here tonight. One thing that I blew at the beginning, I forgot to mention that Scott Neeson was our board operator tonight, yours truly being the assistant board operator. Thank you to Scott Neeson for everything that you do for the show. And also thanks to all of our sponsors, Northern Superior Brewing Company, Sports Center, Northern Critters in Need, North Shore Sports and Auto, ESPN 1400, On TV, Compass Imaging, and also Demansky Office Interiors. I must give a special shout out to Northern Critters in Need and Big Brother Big Sister for nonprofit organizations. Definitely give them a follow. And we're very excited to do our charitable announcement, hopefully in the next coming weeks. Aaron Robinson, our new website, thegamesportsshow.com, will be released in the coming week or two. If you want to be a sponsor on the show, don't hesitate to reach out to yours truly. You've been listening to the show on through our website portal or through our social media and media platforms. Very happy that you were able to join us. Don't hesitate to follow us. And to make sure you always keep it locked here on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game Sports Show. Now, while I take a quick breath, get into our conclusion segment, we'll be covering everything this weekend, as always, locally, professionally, nationally, you name it. Good luck to all the teams remaining in the NFL. I picked Titans-Packers to be your finals. I kind of have a feeling for Henry and the boys getting the Super Bowl this year. Next week, we will have a show Monday and also Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Full slate next week. Monday, ESPN 1400, 6 to 8. Tuesday on TV from 7 till 8. Wednesday, 9 to 10:30 p.m. at Sports Center. And back here at Northern next Thursday at 7:15. Again, thank you for everyone to join us here on the Game Sports Show. Thanks to Connor once again here on the last part. I'm here to remind you to keep your stick on the ice. Swing your bat, catch your touchdown, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.